man from Texas, a man of the wild, thrown into combat where bodies lie piled, fights his emotions, his blood's running cold. Just like his victories, his story unfolds. Right, how I'd write if there be any glory in war. Let it rest on men like him.
In your generation, if that the future has already been written, that the machines are coming, that the jobs are evaporating, that the climate is breaking, that politics is fractured, and that you are inheriting a mess that you did not create. The question is not whether AI will shape the world, it will. The question is whether you will help shape artificial intelligence. We do not know. The precise contours of what this transformation will look like. But what we do know is it will require each of us to adapt in ways that we cannot yet anticipate.
The rise of artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution.
Data centers are devouring American homes in a brazen land grab fueled by the technocracy's AI boom, and everyday families are paying the ultimate price.
Imagine you work for a $2 billion company and you roll up to work one morning and you find out that your 401k contribution will no longer be matched by the company because they are interested in putting that measly amount for their employees, that little itty bit for a $2 billion company, into AI research, AI processes in the name of efficiency. And then you read what your company's spokespeople say and they go, this is actually a positive signal in the labor market. This is good. This is an investment back in our people for their long-term future.
Across the United States, utility giants and big tech allies are wielding eminent domain like a club, bulldozing generational properties under the guise of progress and energy needs. Sold as innovation, now revealing itself as a ruthless corporate takeover, where your backyard, your farm, or your childhood home becomes collateral damage for server farms that guzzle power like there's no tomorrow. This assault is hitting hard in states like Georgia, where Georgia Power is targeting families in Coweta County to clear paths for massive transmission lines supporting a $17 billion data center project in neighboring Fayette County.
Although nobody in this town wants a damn data center, our commissioners still approved it. So therefore, Georgia Power is using easement rights to force homeowners, longtime homeowners, old homeowners, into selling their family properties and their family homes so they can be torn down and power lines be extended to support these data centers.
Similar nightmares are unfolding in Pennsylvania, where rural families like Brenda Rizzo's 101-acre farm stare down 240-foot towers for AI data centers. Nationwide, the scale is staggering. Nearly 3,000 new data centers under construction or proposed, piling onto thousands already operating, with rural America bearing the brunt.
Construction is either in final planning or even in progress in a ton of not-so-remote areas. Forget the ones that are already built already. There's thousands of them all over the country. But you have Phoenix, Arizona, Atlanta, Georgia. Actually, that's becoming like one of the biggest major hubs with dozens more planned. Columbus, Ohio, Reno, Nevada, Quincy, Washington, El Paso.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 18th of May, 2026. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I have to say it was kind of a bit of a slow news weekend, honestly, compared to most news weekends, that is. It means we still have more than enough to talk about. But I don't know. Things have been going at such a pace recently. Maybe it was Trump's trip to China. Maybe they got back in town and had to sort of let things settle for a little bit. We do, of course, have a ton of major news, including some breaking news that just came out a few hours ago. We'll get into everything going on around the world. Probably take your calls as well. And we're going to talk about, of course, one of the biggest topics over the weekend, Chud the Builder. Continues to be a major topic as fundraising attempts for him are not going as planned because the court is refusing to allow him to use the money that he raised for his defense. We'll get into that as well. And I do think it's an important thing to champion. I was maybe a little bit wishy-washy on Friday when we last talked about this. But I'm pretty firmly on old Chud's side at this point. Not that I wasn't ever, but just the more I've thought about it, the more I've learned about it, the more I've looked at videos of what exactly was Chud's MO and all of that. Yeah, we'll talk about that quite a bit today. And mostly because nobody else will. Because who else is going to talk? Like, on mainstream media, you'll probably get an update that's like, you know, a vicious, hateful, racist live streamer shoots innocent, unarmed black man. He's going to jail for life, and that's a good thing. Moving on, right? That's basically the entire context that you'll get, when really this is a much bigger story than that, and it has to do with just how everything is going in this country these days, including stuff like this. I got the emergency alert yesterday. Teenagers arrested after apparently random shooting spree left four injured. Two teenagers are now in custody, and a third suspect is being sought after an apparent random shooting spree in Austin, Texas, left four people injured. The suspects drove around the city in a stolen vehicle, opened fire on apartment buildings, houses, and fire stations. Two teenagers, aged 15 and 17, were apprehended after they stopped their stolen car and attempted to flee. A third person was in the vehicle and managed to escape. It's unclear at this point whether the third person was involved in the shooting. Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis said that stolen firearms were used. Yeah, apparently they would just steal cars and drive around shooting into houses. Okay, now Austin, Texas, has spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on license plate readers and all this sort of surveillance tech over the recent years. Nothing really all that useful in stopping these people, apparently. Very useful in towing your car or sending you a ticket, apparently not very useful in stopping the random shootings of the teenagers having a good time in the afternoon. And I got to say, originally when I heard about cities suing car companies for being too easy to steal, I thought it was ridiculous. And obviously it is not the cause of the problem. It's a mere symptom of the actual disease that we have of lawlessness in this country. But Jamie White and now, you know, these shooters, they all use the same cars because apparently they just, that's what you do. You go out, you steal a car, takes 2 seconds to hotwire. They're made to where it's incredibly easy to do that. And then you have basically an anonymous vehicle that you can drive around committing crime and you know, possibly get away with it. So, I mean, you know, obviously we didn't listen to it. We didn't listen to the lockdown order, but basically everybody in Austin got a emergency alert yesterday that was a shelter in place alert because they were hunting down three teenagers that were driving around randomly shooting into houses. And it's just a little bit of a reminder of sort of the incremental collapse that we're all experiencing piece by piece. Again, is it the end of the world getting a text message from your government being like, hey, we can't really handle things right now, so just stay inside for a little bit while the criminals are out there killing people. There's a lot of criminals killing people. You're going to need to... I remember joking about this with Black Lives Matter or whatever, where it's like, are we just going to need, it's going to be like the weather report and the crime report and just like signs of a teenage takeover in this mall area. Avoid it for the next couple hours. Are we going to get like updates like that as if crime and as if human behavior is as inscrutable as the weather? It's like, well, we do our best to predict it, but all you can do is put your head down and shelter and just hope lightning doesn't strike you. It's like, no. These are human beings doing this. Well, what you do is you hunt down those human beings. See, when society is beset by violent psychopaths using terror and force to rob or destroy the lives of innocent people, the only response to that that has ever worked in all of human history is for good, upright, righteous people to use more violence than them. That's the answer. That's the only answer. It's the only answer we've ever had. But it's almost like we're being indoctrinated into this idea of like, uh-oh, criminals out on the street. Get in your pens, sheep. Get in your paddock, livestock. It's time to, buckle down. There's wolves about. Well, don't worry. We'll send the sheepdogs out. The sheepdogs are just clearly wolves, just drooling and staring at the sheep. That's sort of where we're at this point. Yeah, it literally does. I mean, yeah, Cruz reading my mind here. It is Clockwork Orange. Oh, you want a motor car? You pluck it from the trees, right? Just a little bit of the old ultra violence. And of course, and you've got the thugs as police too. Really an underrated dystopian story. Yeah, it's sort of overshadowed by the, like, visuals of it. The underlying message of Clockwork Orange is, like, more in tune with the human experience than Fahrenheit 451 or 1984, in my opinion. But yeah, that's essentially where we have basically arrived at the ultra-violence time period, where it's just, you know, gangs of, you know, random teenage criminals running around murdering people for fun. And I guess we just have to put up with it because our society is retarded. And that's basically where we're at. It's not like there's not people in these police departments that could handle this expertly and immediately. It's not like we don't have Nayib Bukele showing us in El Salvador exactly what is necessary to correct the situation that we're in. They were in a much worse situation. They just did a few simple things and completely reversed the trajectory. We are continuing on the trajectory because the people in power want us on that trajectory. Because what is the solution? What is the solution when your culture has degraded and disintegrated to the point where this is just what, like, high schoolers are doing and their families covering up for, or like don't even know it's happening? That's the other thing, right? There are instances where I think it's gone too far and it's only occasionally or sort of selectively enforced how there's a school shooting. They've started like putting the parents in jail for the school shooting. I don't know how fair that is, because if you research school shootings, you research this stuff, a lot of the parents think they're doing everything they need to. It's kind of hard to predict if your kid's just going to grab a gun and go kill somebody. Like, you know, what are you supposed to do to stop that? If, however, your kids are nightly out in the middle of the night shooting up houses and stealing cars, I think maybe you have a case. I think maybe you have a case for, like, this is your fault. You're the parent. They're minors. They're kids. You're supposed to be in charge of them and monitoring where they are. You're so irresponsible that they're just out, like, killing people, potentially. Four people were injured, but they were just shooting randomly into houses. Could have been anybody, and they obviously could have died. Where are the parents in that case? Maybe this would be an instance where it's like, if your kid is doing this, it's your responsibility, and you're too checked out for that to happen. So what do you do when this is just your society? When your society is straight up Clockwork Orange, we got a bunch of droogs running around committing ultraviolence. What do you do? Well, you got, you know, basically one of two options. Either you arm the people and you basically minimize law enforcement activity overall, and you just say, hey, look, we can't handle the level of, you know, chaos right now. So if a shootout happens, you just got to, you know, I guess call us afterwards. Like that would answer. That would be a solution. That would, you know, probably fix things pretty quick. I'd have to think. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that would just want to volunteer for vigilante justice anyway. That's one option. The only other option, and the only option that our authorities seem capable of understanding, is surveillance, control, monitoring, tyranny. That's it. These are your only options. So we're choosing the tyrannical side. So our government is just very, in a very simple problem reaction solution dichotomy. It's just as easy as you can be. You let out the criminals, you let them commit crimes. You use those crimes as an excuse to impose censorship and surveillance and control on the people not committing crimes. It's just like incredibly easy. It's incredibly simple and it's incredibly obvious. I don't know why we allow it. I don't know why we can't solve this problem. We could if we had the will. The will doesn't exist, I guess. Let's go to clip number 12 here. This is the announcement about the two teens arrested for driving around randomly shooting into houses. Let's watch.
Good afternoon. I'm Austin Mayor Kirk Watson, and we want to give you an update on some of the things that are going on in Austin right now. We are reporting multiple shootings throughout the area. Two of those have been at our fire station, or at two Austin Fire Department stations. These are occurring primarily in South Austin, and we don't have any specific motive that has been identified. In fact, these actions appear to be random. This is an active, ongoing investigation. So what we're asking is that all of our people, all of our residents, please remain vigilant. In fact, it appears that as part of this, people are changing vehicles. So again, it's very important for people to remain vigilant. We ask if you see anything, and the chief is going to give you an update on some specifics in just a second, but if you see anything, we're asking that you please call 911. An alarm or a warning has gone out. Many of you may have received that. Please pay heed to that. Now I want to call on the Austin Police Department Chief Lisa Davis to give you some more details. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. We're currently investigating 10 shootings that occurred late yesterday and into today. At this time, most of the shootings have occurred in South Austin. Again, no specific motive, and they appear to be random in nature. This investigation is ongoing, and APD asks that you remain vigilant. And if you see something suspicious, please call 911. Do not approach a vehicle. At this point, we know the suspect's vehicles used in this incident have included a black or dark blue Hyundai, a gold Hyundai sedan, a silver Mazda four-door, and a white Kia Optima, which APD is currently looking for. Suspect description is two male Hispanics, both in their late teens, one with medium wavy hair and the other with longer hair. At this time, we can confirm that four individuals have been shot. One has sustained serious injury and the other three minor injuries. In addition, I want to remind people to not leave their cars unlocked. What we are seeing are these cars are being stolen. Do not leave your keys in the vehicle or your key fobs in the vehicle. Again, please remain vigilant. If you see something suspicious, call 911 immediately. Stay safe.
Texas shakes down this way. Police there have arrested three teenagers after a weekend shooting spree that left four people injured. Police say the suspects targeted apartment complexes and houses and two fire stations. In total, there were 12 separate drive-by shootings between Saturday night and Sunday morning.
These are occurring primarily in South Austin, and we don't have any specific motive that has been identified. In fact, these actions appear to be random.
Okay, so that notwithstanding, officials say there are no more threats to the public. Should, if that's the case, that should be good news, right?
Awesome. Okay, Texas. We hope.
Yes, indeed.
Good news. Good news. If they caught him, thank goodness. And I was trying to find, maybe the crew can find, we've shown them before, but you can very easily and obviously identify when the socialist, you know, prison abolitionist got elected as DA, Jose Garza, here in Austin. I mean, it is a direct correlation where they stop charging people like they should. They start going easy on the criminals and the crime explodes, especially the violent crime. Because again, these are, they're human beings. They respond to incentives. And if they think they can get away with it, they'll commit more crimes. And if they commit smaller crimes, those crimes almost inevitably always lead to bigger crimes. You almost never find, you'll get a murder, guy freaking out and whatever, killing his wife or whatever, and he'll not have a criminal past. But for the vast majority of stranger murders, of, random murders, events like this, the person's got a rap sheet, 10 miles long, because they're working their way up. And you'll see it starts off with, being in a fight, and then it goes up to armed robbery, and then one of those armed robbery goes wrong, and they murder a person, and then, it's off to the races. No pun intended. So I don't know, the only thing to ask now is, why is our leadership doing this to us? Because it's not a question. It's not like we don't know how this works. Again, that's why I started off talking about murder or crime as some sort of, weather event. It's not just something that is unpredictable. It's not something that we are helpless to affect. It rises and falls in direct proportion to the attitude of the authorities. So it's infuriating and exhausting that our city is getting less and less safe because they keep doing the same thing over and over, and they could solve it at any point. From AlexJonesLive.com, we have this story. Texas Rep. Chip Roy calls on state to intervene and stop the Austin DA from letting violent criminals loose after murder of InfoWars writer Jamie White, recent shooting sprees, and other incidents. When Austin, Texas residents learned of a trio of teenagers carrying out a shooting spree across the city over the weekend, journalist Brandon Morello pointed out far-left Soros-funded Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza has repeatedly failed to hold violent criminals accountable. Two teenagers, aged 15 and 17, were apprehended on Sunday after they were stopped in a stolen car and attempted to flee, with a third person in the vehicle managing to escape. The culprits are accused of 12 random shootings that injured four individuals, striking homes, fire stations, apartments, and businesses. A third suspect was later apprehended by law enforcement. This is a common occurrence in Austin because there's no oversight into Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza. Garza reduces charges against minors and doesn't request stiff penalties. State says they can't intervene. Congressman Chip Roy replied to Morello, writing, "That must and will change." Responding to the elected official, Morello described how Garza dropped capital murder charges for the young thugs who were involved in the brutal murder of InfoWars writer Jamie White in March of 2025. When InfoWars writer Jamie White was murdered, four people were arrested. Two were minors. Originally, all of them were charged with capital murder. Garza dropped the capital murder charges against all of them. Only one was charged with murder. He was given a crappy plea deal. So bad, the judge had to step in and say, "You're doing a minimum of 25 years or we're going to trial." The demon decided he wanted to go to trial. They literally have this monster bragging about shooting Jamie and making fun of him for being white. Garza refused to stack up hate charges. Morello added, "During my reporting on Jamie's murder, I was given audio recording of one of the co-defendants bragging about disposing of the murder weapon and admitting his friend killed Jamie. Austin PD never listened to the audio until I released it. The DA freed the co-defendant. In the audio recording days later, it's all a mess. Federal intervention is needed." Congressman Roy chimed in again, saying, "This makes my blood boil. The state must intervene to stop DA Garza from turning Austin into Gotham. This is Texas, and we're taking it back." In a separate post, Morello criticized DA Garza for being empathetic to teen criminals and calling on Kia to face lawsuits from states and victims because the company knows its vehicles are easy targets for thieves and have not taken action to address the problem. Again, that's one where I used to think that was kind of ridiculous. And it is, but I mean, this is where we're at. It's like a symptom that we should be able to minimize the number of car thieves that we have, people willing to do that. But until then, it's obviously not a great setup that these cars are basically free for criminals. So they just, as soon as you see a Kia, you might as well be sitting there with its, key in the engine and a sign saying, free to drive. And this, again, we're in the situation, who is voting for this? Who is voting for this? Who supports this? Why are the Democrats like this? I mean, we've covered example after example, from Virginia to Colorado, where the legislature's coming together, they're writing bills, they're having the debate, they're passing bills, it's being signed by the governor, and what is the bill for? It's to lower the punishment for murders, or provide, you know, bail, or, you know, bonding out for serial rapists. And it's just like, who is this for? Who wants this? Who's advocating for this? Who's voting for this? Like, crime affects everybody, and it affects, you know, poor and minority populations, you know, obviously more. It's like, who is voting for this? I get, you could say, like, well, it's, you know, these rich, you know, rich Democrats promote this stuff because they live up in the hills and don't have to actually deal with it. But then why are the people in these neighborhoods not solidly Republican? Do they not realize that, like, their lives are being destroyed by this crime as well? It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, democracy obviously doesn't work. It obviously doesn't, because who votes for this? Who sits there and goes, all right, we've got two options. Somebody who punishes criminals and somebody who doesn't. And the population chooses the guy that doesn't punish criminals. And the only reason they choose that is because they have been subjected to literally decades of brainwashing, telling them that law enforcement itself, the concept of law as we know it, is an aspect of white supremacy, and that all of these criminals going around robbing people, killing people, stealing cars, shooting randomly into fire stations, they're just, you know, they're the heroes. They're all just unfairly maligned by a racist system. Do they actually believe that? I don't know. I can't possibly tell you, but seems like everything the Democrats support these days. It's just like, who would support this? Why is this even a position that anybody would take, let alone people that are getting paid, like getting voted in? It's genuinely is completely insane. And I don't know how we fix it. I don't know how you have a governmental system that even allows for a DA Garza to exist. It's crazy. It's like, yeah, our system is, you know, if you want to change the law, you've got to write a bill, you've got to blah, blah, you like go through all these steps. And then at the end of the day, if you have some, you know, whatever, gay George Soros political activist, they just don't have to charge anything. They just don't do anything or charge anything or hold anybody to account. So it just doesn't matter. And the criminals just get let off completely free. And then people keep voting for them. So what do you do? What do you do here? I'll tell you what you do. You read Starship Troopers, the book. What you do is you develop a political system based on Starship Troopers, the original novel about crime being completely out of control and gangs of veterans starting as vigilante law enforcement and then merging and forming into a fascistic government. That might be the answer. That might be the solution here. So I'll tell you what's not a solution. Sitting quietly waiting to be murdered. Hiding in your home because police are just telling you that, yeah, there's criminals out there killing people. And, frankly, they're overwhelmed with all the homeless people pooping on each other and attacking each other with machetes. God, this city sucks. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live, coming to you live here from the new Alex Jones Network headquarters. You can follow us, of course, at alexjoneslive.com. It's alexjoneslive.com. Crime just continues to be a massive topic daily because we're now experiencing the downstream effects of the big changes that were made 5 years ago. And I think we need to align these things. Like, we need to understand sometimes things take, you know, a couple years to come about. And basically in 2020, they did the Black Lives Matter defund the police program. And now we're seeing the effects of it. And you saw the murder rate and violent crime rate skyrocket in just about every major city. It's one of the few things that I give Donald Trump absolute credit for is the way they, you know, crushed crime in D.C. and Memphis and elsewhere. I mean, they can hang their hat on that, and that was a really good move. I wish it didn't take federal intervention. It shouldn't. It's not like these cities don't have the resources to deal with this. They're just not being used for that, ever. Just like in Austin. Sure, we've got all the license plate scanners you could possibly need, but can't track a criminal for the life of us. Can't track a bunch of teenagers driving around in stolen vehicles, shooting at people. They will give you a ticket. They will, you know, hit you for staying parked in a space for too long. And this is another case where truly the left is the worst. They screw us on so many things. And I've got three major examples that I think we need to understand the way the solutions to these problems are deployed and how it embodies the term that a lot of people use, maybe don't understand, of controlled opposition. Remember, the best example, I think, of controlled opposition we've seen maybe in my lifetime, and we clocked it as it was happening, was the fake opposition to the Venezuela boat bombings. That I thought there were some legitimate concerns about the ability of the president to declare valid war targets, the stretching to practically non-existence, the definition of imminent threat. I thought you could have absolutely brought the Trump administration to task and, you know, forced their actions to be subject to a vote under the War Powers Act. I felt like you could have done that. What did the Democrats do to oppose them? They had six of their veteran Congress people make a video encouraging the troops to disobey orders. And it's like, okay, so now nothing is being done to actually stop the potential crime happening, the potential, you know, expansion of the executive power illegally and unconstitutionally. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing's going to prevent this same excuse being used later. Again, we called it. We nailed it. We were like, okay, what's happening in Venezuela is they are, you know, setting the precedent for action in Iran. They're going, well, you know, it's an imminent threat because one or two steps removed, the cocaine on the boats might kill somebody. The fentanyl on the boats might kill somebody. Therefore, it's an imminent threat. And we said at the time, this is not good. And they're setting the precedent for the president to be able to say anything's an imminent threat and then use military force with no oversight anywhere in the world. That is a very dangerous precedent to set. And now we're in an argument about whether, you know, soldiers have to obey orders. They just openly make a blatantly seditious, borderline treasonous ad encouraging troops to disobey orders. And now the people that are actually patriots are like defending the expansion of the War Powers Act. Just what I'm illustrating is like people say somebody's controlled opposition because they disagree with them about whether Chubb the Builder should be arrested. It's like, do y'all understand what controlled opposition truly is? It's when there's a real issue, you have the people supposedly fighting that issue completely derail it and take it to another issue that doesn't actually affect it, that just causes more problems, that causes more division, that guarantees you never actually solve the first problem while actually generating more problems down the line. That's how controlled opposition works. So the left has weaponized controlled opposition for three things that I think are pretty obvious. The first one I would say is climate change, since it has consumed and subsumed and completely taken over all environmental concerns whatsoever. Heard Alex today talking about this and just being like, I'm not some tree hugging, you know, environmentalist, but like, there are no bugs anymore. Does nobody care about this? If there are no bugs, what do the birds eat? If there are no birds, like, what are we doing here? I'm an environmentalist. I'm not shy about it. I am a tree hugging hippie. I do glory in God's creation. I do think it's a sin to allow it to be destroyed or to destroy it. But as human beings, even allowing it to be destroyed. I mean, do you know how much happier I would be if we spent the same amount of money, the same amount of troops, everything that we're doing for the Iran war right now? What if we did that to like save the rhinos? And instead of having the white rhinos literally going extinct as I speak, you know, there are only two white rhinos left in the entire world and they're both female. Okay. So we are watching right now as a entire species gets snuffed out like a candle flame. We can't put a couple dollars towards that. We can't use some of our incredible military power to, like, you know, preserve God's creation. I don't know. I think that's actually just being a human being. Here comes the left to say, actually, all environmentalism has to go towards climate change. Climate change is carbon dioxide. We have to crush people's ability to industrialize or, you know, have a gas lawnmower. It's completely ridiculous. Meanwhile, the Chinese are destroying all life in the ocean on purpose and nobody's doing anything to stop that. Meanwhile, they're offshoring everything to China and India so they can just pour their toxic waste directly into the river and then out into the ocean. They don't actually care about the environment. So it's one of a few places where the supposed activity of the left is totally contrary to what they actually say they believe. But if you try to argue against it, you're told you just hate Earth and want, you know, the planet to be destroyed and You're not an environmentalist because you don't believe the lie of climate change. That's just one example. That's controlled opposition. That's where they want to destroy the earth. And so, you know, they want to be able to build these data centers and, you know, not have to pay anybody or, you know, have any surveys to see what effect it will have to the nature in the surrounding area. And so, you know, they're like, oh, the environmentalists might stand up against our industrialist aims. So let's be in charge of the environmental program. And instead of standing up against the actual destruction of the planet, we'll divert it all towards, you know, making you eat bugs. It's crazy. That's just one example. The other examples, I think, are more obvious and concrete. And once again, I mean, before I was at InfoWars, before I, you know, 15 years ago, I was having this argument because on Facebook and wherever else for years, I'd be the only one talking about, police brutality. Police brutality was an issue that really launched with people like Alex Jones, people concerned about the Patriot Act, people concerned about the fallout of September 11th and the way that local police were being empowered to be these, like, you know, they're all the SWAT team. Basically, they were being trained to treat the American citizens as enemy combatants. They're being militarized. It was about militarized police and, you know, how that was being used to oppress people. And for like a decade, at least, it was right wingers in the libertarian side of things, the Alex Jones, the InfoWars fans. We were the ones talking about police brutality. Nobody cared. Nobody would share the clips. Nobody, you know, would get on board. All of the sudden, it's like everybody I know is talking about police brutality. And I'm like, amazing. Finally, we're all on this. Finally, you're all figuring this out. We're all learning about police brutality and how damaging it is and how crazy it is that our police can get away with this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but only when it talks about black people, but only about police hurting black people, which isn't really a phenomenon, doesn't really actually have policies pushing it in the same way that, like, the police are being militarized by policy. They're being militarized because their budgets are withheld unless they take the terrorism training in Israel. But no, now, if you care about police brutality, it's only because you think that black people are unfairly targeted. Now, instead of being about policy changing the behavior of the police and the relationship between the police and the citizens and the way that's being deliberately, you know, manufactured to be combative and harsh. Now it's about the immaterial, indefinable, actually non-existent mind state of the police when they're carrying out their job. It's absurd. It's controlled opposition. So what happens at the end of it? Everything bad. I mean, nothing good. Right? Now you've got people attacking the police for illegitimate reasons. The police don't want to take it, so they're, you know, the good police quit in droves. Now whoever got hired by the police, they've had to lower standards across the board just to fill up the ranks. So instead of dealing with police brutality, all you've done is brought in a bunch of incompetent police that are probably more likely to be brutal, haven't solved the problem at all, and created a whole bunch of other problems and strife and chaos and misery on the back of it. That's controlled opposition. The final thing I'd say controlled opposition has completely screwed us, screwed the American people, and screwed anybody that actually wants to solve problems is with the prison system. The prison system is a complete disaster. It doesn't make any sense. We just have carried on this legacy system that is so far removed from what it was intended to be. It's complete nonsense. If you took somebody who had no context, who had no, you know, experience in the modern world, taken from the past, taken from the future, from the different planet or whatever, and just be like, yeah, our criminals, basically we put them through a giant complicated trial. Half the time, you know, we slap them on the wrist and just let them out again so we can do the whole trial thing next time they commit a crime a few days later. That's insane on the first bit. But if everything goes perfectly, then what we do is we take crazy, insane criminals. We put them in a box with a bunch of other crazy, insane criminals. We let them rape and stab each other for a couple of years, and then we put them back on the street. It's complete madness. It's utterly ridiculous. It needs to change. We need massive, sweeping overhauls of the judicial system. Unfortunately, the only people talking about that are the people who literally just want to get rid of prisons and think that locking people up in and of itself is some form of white supremacy, and that laws and police themselves came out of slave patrols. So just once again, in a situation where, like, we should have real conversations about how to fix the prison system, about how to deal with police brutality, about how to deal with all this stuff. Instead, you've got the left coming in, dominating the conversation, monopolizing the solutions that get proposed, and the solutions are all utterly and ridiculously retarded. I'm trying not to say it, but we're talking about liberals and crime. So retard is just the operative word. It's the only appropriate one. So again, this just pisses me off because what I want to do is sit here and be like, we need prison reform. But what that means in practice in today's media landscape is, you know, so you want to get rid of prisons or just like have two-tiered racial sentencing like they do in Canada and the UK, where it's just like minorities just get less prison time because they're minorities. Obviously, I don't mean any of that. I think the number of ways to change the prison system are just innumerable. I wouldn't even care which way we went. On one hand, I'm genuinely in favor of physical punishment. I genuinely think that these dumbass little teenagers, see if you can find the pictures of the teenagers that were just arrested. Yeah, I know. The crew just said they're teenagers. I don't know if that was supposed to mean. No, their photos are out. Their photos are out. I mean, okay, here's what you do. Find a photo of a Hispanic teenager. That's them. It's the same haircut, same, I mean, it's, tell you what, we can go outside right now. High schools are just letting out. I guarantee we could find 100 people that look exactly like this walking out of a high school 4 blocks from here. Why'd I want you to bring up, why'd I ask you to bring up their pictures again? They're teenagers. They should be beaten with a whip. They should be whipped in the town square. You think, these little scumbags would be so cavalier about driving around shooting people if they knew that after being caught, they'd be stripped naked and whipped by an old white guy on a big platform? I'm telling you, nobody will discuss this with me except for Myron Gaines. What do we have to do to get this seriously considered? I want whippings. I want floggings. I want to adopt pretty much exactly the same criminal code as they used to have on old wooden ships. That's what I want. I want keel hauling. I want cat of nine tails. I want flogging around the fleet. That's how you keep things in order, folks. I'm not even joking. So literally that would be one way to go, is go like Nayib Bukele, physical danger, just like brutalize criminals just to send a message. Why not? Why not? Oh, the poor innocent criminals? What? No. Poor innocent people victimized by criminals. The criminals are on their team. We have the innocent people in the police. That's our gang. Their gang are the dumbass Hispanic teenagers. Okay. And they're winning? What are you talking about? How is that possible? All right. So that's one solution. Whipping them. I think that would work very well. Or you could go the other way and just go, look, every single sentence is indefinite. You get sent to jail, you're staying there until you can prove you deserve to be out. Why not? These are the three juveniles shooting at people. That's them. I found the picture. I think you should have a graduated series of prisons. I'm just going to keep saying this. Nobody has any real suggestions. I think you have the normal prison like it exists now. And while that still exists, because this is the other thing, people like, they want to do prison reform. And so they're like, let's let out everybody in prison and start over. No, what? How about this? How about you have the prison system as it exists now? Sentences stay the same. Everything stays the same. Meanwhile, you build a parallel prison system where people with good behavior from our legacy system, if they can prove that they are willing and able to conduct themselves in a civilized manner, they go to the prison camp. They go to the graduated prison system where they live in a contained prison village and they get to run a business. They get to interact with customers. Oh, this is very interesting. Full interview with Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. He says one of the weapons used in Austin's shooting spree was stolen from his store on Saturday. He claims the suspects had attempted to steal from his store several times. He said the store typically doesn't check IDs until the purchase process begins. Let's pull in that video. This is friend of the show, Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. And last time he was on with us, he was talking about this problem. He was saying there's an increase in people trying to steal guns from his store. And actually, I think last time we had him on, it was because there was a video of him stopping somebody stealing a gun from his store, if I remember that correctly. Yeah, if y'all can pull that in, I would like to hear what Michael Cargill has to say about that. But this is a story that is from, you know, March of this year. This is how insane the system is. This is how insane the criminal justice system is, especially here in Austin, which, like I said, like, who is voting for this? Who is voting for the guy saying, as DA, I'm going to let those criminals out. I'm going to punish the cops. That basically was Jose Garza's pitch. And again, the American people, so brainwashed by Black Lives Matter, thinking that literally law enforcement is a bad thing. It's insane, but this is sort of the result of that. Austin cops who killed Islamicist terrorist and ended a massacre that slaughtered three are now facing a grand jury themselves. The hero Texas police officers who shot and killed an Islamic terrorist outside of an Austin bar are facing a grand jury led by the city's George Soros-backed district attorney. Travis County DA Jose Garza was slammed after it emerged that his office is assessing possible charges against the three cops that bravely killed gunman Indiaga Diagne on Sunday, back in March. Diagne, wearing a Property of Allah shirt over an Islamic flag, killed three people and wounded 13 others before he was killed by police, who arrived on the scene within minutes of the attack. The city's mayor praised the officers for, quote, without a doubt saving lives. However, they now face the prospect of a grand jury thanks to policies shaped by the woke legal group, the Wren Collective. The group worked with Garza's office to establish a policy for all police involved in the deadly shooting to face grand juries, including the heroic officers who stepped in on Sunday. So, I mean, do I even have to argue? Do I even have to explain why this is a bad thing? Why would the police be brought up on charges? You have a gunman who's killed three people. He's wounded 12 others. He's clearly trying to kill as many people as possible. The cops show up. They end it. What is the charge? What would the charge be? This might not be that big of an issue if you didn't have people like Jose Garza who will use this as an excuse to try to get, you know, cops thrown in jail for the rest of their lives for being heroes. And you don't think, just like I explained, how the criminals react to policy because they're human beings, because they understand incentive, because they make a risk versus reward calculation every time they commit a crime. And if they know or have personal experience with the criminal justice system and go, I keep getting let out for this, I'm going to keep doing it. In the same way, the police are also cognizant and aware of what's going on, of precedents being set and reactions thing. How dangerous do you think it is for any amount of doubt to seep in to a police officer's actions? When they're there on the ground and there's a violent situation, all you want the police thinking is, how do I end this situation? Not, how do I end this situation and not get sent to prison for the rest of my life because Jose Garza wants to kill me, wants to send me to jail so I can be stabbed by a gang member. Like, why do we allow this to happen? I really don't understand. And as you know, I mean, a grand jury, you can convict a ham sandwich. That's the whole point of them. Grand juries present evidence without a defendant there to explain it or argue against it. So it's like, put yourself in the position of like one of the lawyers for the city. They come to you and they go, hey, there's a new law. We have to actually file a grand jury summons and have a grand jury trial for these police. Like, why? And you're sitting there going, but the police killed the guy with the gun who was murdering people. I don't want to charge you. Why would I charge you? But now you're like, you're having to impanel a grand jury to investigate a shooting that absolutely nobody is even questioning or debating the merits of. I guess we have to. Just completely insane. Here's Michael Cargill, friend of the show, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. He says that may have been a gun stolen from his store that was used in these random shootings. Let's watch.
All right, good afternoon. So back on January the 6th, January the 8th, one of those days there, we had a gentleman come into the gun store, actually two of them, and try to acquire a firearm. They've come into the gun store apparently four other times to try to steal guns from us, four separate times. And so this one particular time, they were able to get a firearm and run out the store, out of the gun store. This is back in January. We immediately gave chase. One employee ran out the front, jumped in the vehicle. Another employee called 911. I ran out the back door and chased them to the Capital Metro bus station located behind me. They jumped on a city bus. I jumped in front of the city bus. I stopped the city bus from moving. I then had the driver open up the door. I jumped on the city bus, had the driver to lock the door. I then had the driver to call their security. The two gentlemen were actually on the bus with a firearm that they'd taken from us. I told everyone on the bus, no one's leaving until law enforcement arrives.
If you remember, that's Michael Cargill. He was on the War Room shortly after that discussing all of this and talking about how he had to basically citizens arrest the guy in the bus. But this is what, so you've got these guys like trying to steal guns and the city doesn't punish them, doesn't arrest them. It's just like, you know, good luck next time. You'll get to try again. It is completely insane. But right now, folks, I have a question for you. It's decision time for you. Everybody listening to my voice has a decision to make at this very moment. Are you going to continue your life with brain fog and exhaustion and distraction and excuses, or are you going to seize life by the horns and take control of your health? That's the option you have to make. That's the decision you have to make right now. Do you continue to suffer, or do you go to visit thealexjonesstore.com? Thealexjonesstore.com has new methylene red capsules. The methylene red ingredients list, it's all proprietary. The supplement is something that we created, and we made it to sort of partner with and help to enhance Ultramethylene Blue, but it's completely different than Ultramethylene Blue. It's its own formulation. It's incredibly powerful. It doesn't actually have any methylene in it, but it has a ton of amazing proprietary supplements for daily clean energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support, and more. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm. And right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked-out, murdered-out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, five different limited edition laser-engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back Ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the War Room Live is on. We're going to talk about the race with Thomas Massie as it's coming down to the wire, and he needs a bump to get him across. Polls are a little bit iffy right now. We'll cover that in this hour. But sticking to the crime topic, I want to go to a video. This was posted by somebody on X named Frojax, F-R-O-J-A-X. I'm not sure if this is the person in the video or if they just posted it. But I thought it was a good argument as to why, you know, the Chud the Builder case, the trial, the shooting that occurred, is not just, you know, a sideshow. It actually has merit as a, you know, free speech case in this country. Again, I think this Frojax guy makes a very good argument for that. Let's watch.
Chud the Builder has been arrested after a shooting outside of Montgomery County Courthouse in Clarksville, Tennessee. A confrontation with another man named Joshua Fox escalated into a physical fight and gunfire. Chud allegedly fired multiple shots, hitting the other man in the shoulder and in the stomach. Now, the media wants you to view this in a very specific way. Evil, racist white man attacks an African-American military veteran for no reason, attempting to take his life out of hate. We can see this clearly by the way that headlines are written, or by the selective use of imagery to portray Chud as an angry bigot and Joshua Fox as a kind-hearted man just trying to get by. The media wants you to believe that this incident was one-sided and focuses solely on Chud and his history, recent behavior, and negative actions. It's really important to point out that Joshua Fox has a long and confirmed criminal history of his own, including domestic violence and an arson attempt in 2024 when he tried to use an aerosol can and a lighter to burn down his wife's apartment. His wife reported that he was the primary aggressor and threatened her life with a screwdriver. Fox was charged with aggravated stalking and solicitation of a minor after stalking actress Maisie Stella from the TV show Nashville in 2019. He sent her sexually explicit messages, including an image of a woman that he allegedly raped at gunpoint. This stemmed from a multi-year investigation. He had prior rape and kidnapping charges in Asheville, North Carolina, before being transferred to Tennessee for the stalking case. Joshua Andrew Stephen Fox is listed on the Tennessee Sex Offender Registry. Joshua Fox is not a clean victim with no history. He has a clear pattern of violent and predatory behavior. The possibility that he could have been the primary instigator in the situation is perfectly reasonable. This is contrary to the narrative that the media tries to spin. A poor disabled veteran just reacting to mean words. We don't live in a country that represents the men of our nation. White people do not have any favorable media representation. Time and time again, we see the black community react to undeniably heinous acts of violence by filtering events through the lens of group solidarity. When it comes down to people's tribal nature, they are unable to prioritize universal moral abstractions. It's them versus the oppressor. I could take the time today to research both state and federal legal code and come to you with a well-articulated defense for Chud's actions. I could cite statutes and analyze the available video and police reports. I could type out some nuanced take, and some liberal faggot could do the same thing for the other guy. But with regards to the overall conclusion, it does not matter. Just like Kyle Rittenhouse, just like Shiloh Hendricks, just like Austin Metcalf, just like Irina Zarutska, we must take our own side. We can pretend that it's about right and wrong or about principles or legal obedience, but when it comes down to it, the people will default to tribe. The reality is that racial tensions are rising once again, and they must be addressed. This is not working. We don't support running around instigating altercations, causing violence, calling people niggers. But as white people continue to look out for their own, call out clear double standards in our country, and begin reacting to this decades-long and one-sided aggression, it's going to happen. It's well within our rights to use our language freely. Our forefathers purchased the right to freedom of speech, and nobody will tell us otherwise. If you'd like to contribute to Chud's legal fund, we will post the URL in the video description. Wishing the best for Chud and his child. For us, the final solution is clear as day, and everything else is just noise. Total remigration.
Frojax.net.
I believe in freedom of speech.
Yes, sir,
what we like to say. No, I'm not even gonna do it. I love you, bro. Thank you. No, as long as you say yes, we're good. But you see how we show love out here, no hate. They clip it and they try to do the fake news thing, make me look like somebody who hates people. Dad. God bless y'all. Thank you. What up, bro? Showing love to everybody tonight.
No, I know. It's funny because I see a lot of your shit, and it's funny because here's the thing. It's like,
no, you're good.
Bro, obviously it's controversial and shit like that, but in America you have freedom of speech. The key is this. If somebody's talking shit, if somebody's being weird, if you don't like it, don't give a reaction. Don't put yourself in a position where
don't
you're
going
to your life or go to jail. Right, like, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
The
you
fuck is the problem? Yeah.
More Chud the Builder news on the other side. Stay with us. We'll give you an update, the latest of Chud's case, and we'll show you some stats to show you how ridiculous he is.
make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Welcome back, folks. Talking about crime, talking about criminal justice here. And there's another example that I think kind of goes along with this. Like, I understand that you want to write laws that can just sort of just apply, almost like an algorithm, right? It's just like you committed X, then you get Y punishment. I mean, it should be very simple, but the law obviously is there to administrate human affairs, which are never cut and dry, never as mechanical as robots would like it. There's always a little bit of wiggle room. And we're being hamstrung by some of this stuff. Like, I can even understand the argument, not that I agree with it, but I can understand the argument that says whenever there is a deadly police action, it should be investigated. No matter what, you want to investigate it, just because what you want to avoid is police basically being able to murder people and get away with it. That's not a good thing. And a lot of times we've seen these sort of internal investigations that police do are woefully insufficient. Daniel Shraver, I believe, or maybe I might be mixing that up with another guy. It was Daniel Shraver, was a guy who was, it was before George Floyd. But just brutally killed by police. It's on video. And the guy, I mean, you cannot imagine a more brutal police killing than this guy literally crawling on his hands and knees, weeping, drunk out of his mind, just like, what's going on? And then the police just murder him in cold blood. Totally brutal, totally ridiculous. You know, the type of stuff that, like, you should actually be concerned about if you care about police brutality. Not that Black Lives Matter had anything to say about that, obviously, because the guy was white and they're actually just about racial division. But regardless, I think the outcome of that was like, yeah, they investigated it and they determined that the guy, you know, the police may have not acted totally lawfully, but, you know, he was allowed to do it. He basically got a paid vacation for a little while, right? He was placed on leave pending an investigation. And even if he gets fired, like, he still gets his pension and everything. So, like, okay, I understand that, like, just leaving it to the internal investigation doesn't always get justice. I can even understand the idea that you'd say, look, as a blank, you know, policy, let's just subject everybody to, you know, an outside investigation in this form in the grand jury. I can understand the argument. But then you have to have some humanity. You have to have the ability to look at a rule set and say, this doesn't apply. Tony Tempa, this was the police officer name? I thought his name was Daniel. I'm not sure if this is the same one I'm thinking of. Maybe it was. But there have been a lot. There have been a lot of these, okay? So, okay, I get it. I get that, you know, you got police running around here. They've got the ability to kill people. They've got the ability to use physical force. I can understand why you'd want to have some oversight of that. But where's the humanity? When you've got police officers who rush into an active shooter situation and put down the gunman while he's in the process of murdering people, I think you can skip the grand jury for that. I think it's okay. I think you go, nope, literally everybody, like, this was seen by 1,000 people, and they all are like, thank God that police officer saved our life. So just don't worry about the grand jury. Just don't worry about it. Just don't need it, actually. It's fine. But that never seems to be the case. There's another example, again from today, and this is where, once again, it's like, you know, I talk a lot about the freedoms that we have. It's like we've forgotten why we have them. It's like they've been so divorced from their underlying purpose, we don't even understand them anymore, and they're invoked when they shouldn't be, and they're not invoked when they should be. You know, free speech, for one thing. The idea of free speech is that you don't want the government crushing your political activism. That's the purpose of free speech. You don't want the force of the government, with its monopoly on violence, using that monopoly on violence to shut you up because you disagree with them, or because you can point out they're lying, or you know something about them that they don't want out there. That's what free speech is for. I don't believe that you should be able to invoke, you know, the concepts of free speech if you're talking about transing kids, right? No, it's not valuable. That's not, you know, it's not actually, you know, an appropriate application of that concept. Do you understand what I mean? Because what ends up happening is legitimate political speech ends up getting crushed, whereas the label free speech is used to just make it impossible to do anything about proliferation of pornography across the internet and at our universities. And, you know, it's like, yeah, we absolutely believe in free speech. But, you know, to us, that means OnlyFans gets to operate, you know, with no oversight. But anybody promoting anything to the right of Patrick Buchanan is, you know, a terrorist and a Nazi that needs to be surveilled and monitored. So we've sort of lost the plot a little bit on some of these underlying concepts and what makes them important. Same thing with, like, the Second Amendment. Sure, it is for hunting. Sure, you can participate in gun sports, and that's a, you know, valid thing to do. Nobody has a right to tell you not to. But the reason we have the Second Amendment is so that if they try to do what they're doing in Ukraine, instead of fathers being hauled away to die on a battlefield, we're just going to kill the recruiters. Like, that's what it's for. I think that should be obvious. Having a right to be armed is having dignity as a human being, is not being a slave. It's not even about the gun as much as the idea that you don't arm your slaves. So anybody having, you know, being able to be armed isn't a slave. It's actually, like, pretty simple, and you don't even have to fire the gun for it to have the impact it's supposed to have. I say all of this because there's another situation today with, in this case, Luigi Mangione. I'll try to find the exact article here, but in a word, they basically are saying that the police are not allowed to use the evidence of what was found in his backpack because they didn't have, like, a warrant to search the backpack. Judge blocks evidence from Luigi Mangione backpack in UnitedHealthcare CEO murder case. Again, is this an appropriate use of, you know, the right to privacy? Because I am torn. I don't want to undermine the right to privacy. I actually think it is valuable in principle and really shouldn't be messed with at all, but this is not what it's supposed to be used for. Like, the idea is that the police have the ability to do this stuff, but not the right to do it, right? A police officer can't just go, I don't like the way that guy's looking at me, I'm going to go rummage through his backpack to find something that I can call a weapon, or find something I can call drug paraphernalia. It's supposed to be there so, you know, politicians can't say to the police officer, hey, you know, this guy's causing me trouble, maybe you go find something in his papers that doesn't add up right, and we can charge him for tax evasion. It's supposed to be there to protect innocent people from overreach and exploitation by the government. Does anybody think that these police officers were motivated by anything other than their duty? If they're looking for this murderer, looking for Luigi Mangione, find the guy, open his backpack to search what's there, because he just murdered a man in cold blood, because he just shot a man, and you're pretty sure this is the guy. You don't know if he's got explosives. You don't know if he's got a gun, and, you know, or whatever else. Maybe he's got fentanyl. I mean, you're dealing with a psychopath terrorist. You're dealing with somebody who literally just murdered a man in cold blood. You cannot predict what he's willing to do or capable of doing. So I would think that the police, when arresting him, searching his backpack, like, you expect them not to search his backpack. You think they should arrest the guy who just murdered him? They arrest him on murder charges. They're allowed to do that, but they're not allowed to search in his backpack while they do. This is what I mean. It's like, so what, now I'm supposed to be arguing against the Fourth Amendment? I'm arguing against unlawful search and seizure? I think we've missed the mark here. I think the purpose of these rights that we have, the Bill of Rights and the amendments therein, are to protect us against things that are happening at scale now in the United States government. Like, do you understand what I mean by how far off we've gone? That when the founders wrote the Fourth Amendment, it was like, yeah, we don't want the government having carte blanche access to all of your papers. Like, what a horrifying overreach that would be, and what a powerful weapon that would be in the hands of a tyrant. Be able just to come in and like, plant stuff, they can do whatever they want. No. We're going to have a control system. We're going to have judges that have to approve the warrant. They have to be totally, you know, unimpeachable. They have to be above the fray. They can't be involved in the, you know, day-to-day goings-on. They have to be the authority that simply dictates applicable warrants when they arise. It's gone from that to now you can't search the murderer's backpack or else all of that evidence gets thrown out while he's being arrested. Meanwhile, the government is just running gigantic internet-wide dragnets where they're capturing every phone call you've ever had and has portals for direct access to the back end of every social media company. So do you see where we've gone a little bit off the rails? A little bit that these rights, these powers that the government has are no longer fit for purpose. They're not being used correctly. And I don't know how we've gone this far off the rails. It's just crazy. It's literally like everything that we talk about. It's like everything that we talk about. Maybe it is just because the world is so different now, but it's like all the laws are so divorced from the realities. It's like, what are we doing here? The 14th Amendment and the recent conversation we had about that. It's like, what are we doing? We're debating an amendment that was only written as a workaround to the other requirement that existed at the time that the only people who could be naturalized were white European men. So that doesn't exist anymore, obviously, with Hartzeller and all these other, you know, immigration acts and programs and rewrites of the law. That's not a law anymore, but we still have to abide by the amendment that was made to deal with the law that doesn't exist anymore. What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't believe that we have to be stuck in a system like this. I don't believe that we have to deal with this legacy system that is so utterly incoherent at this point. The Fourth Amendment is being violated continually by the government every chance they get. The only time it's ever going to be invoked is in a case like this, which is not what it was made for in the first place. Because Luigi Mangione was not targeted by a, you know, vindictive and unlawful act of the government. He's not an activist that is being targeted by, you know, the feds for lawfare abuse. Our people are. That has happened routinely to us on our side. Never addressed. The Fourth Amendment will only come into play if and when it can be used to get an obviously guilty suspect, you know, an easier time in trial, which is just like, why? Why do we put up with this? Why do we deal with this? And unfortunately, the answer is right in front of us. Bloodthirsty Luigi Mangione fangirls unapologetically celebrate CEO's assassination. F. Brian Thompson. His children are better off without him. See, this is one of those situations where I think good for the goose, kill the goose. This is one of these situations where I'm like, when the goose is advocating that you murder eagles, the goose has forfeited their life. Talking about goose, remember. Talking about geese and goose-like animals. It's just one of those things. I feel like, this is sort of an impossible thing to employ, but it would be appropriate. It would be just if, like, you advocate for censorship, you should be censored. And if you advocate for murder, you should be killed. seems fair, right? This, like, we should actually be doing this. I don't know why we're not. It'd stop people from making stupid comments like this. I think we have a video of this. I'm not sure if we can go to that. I haven't looked it up yet. I haven't watched this yet, and I almost don't want to. We can go to clip number 5 here. End Wokeness posted this. Mamdani gave these people press passes. They're now at the courthouse celebrating murder. Let's watch.
Children are better off without him. They need to learn to not be like their dad and enjoy the blood money, kids.
What was that? I didn't get that, what you said.
I'm standing on business with Brian Thompson. I don't give a flying about millions of Americans.
I liked it.
Millions of Americans suffer every single day in the last decade. We had a literal infant named Gisela who, because of how negligent her health insurance was, she died. An infant died. So if you guys are okay with someone like Brian Thompson being around and that being a part of our society, that says more about you as a person, because you look absolutely monstrous defending someone like that. Participates in social murder. That's what we're
mass social murder. He's responsible for more deaths than Osama bin Laden. And I remember Americans celebrating when Osama bin Laden was killed. It's not like we don't understand heroic violence or like when violence is good. As American, as America got.
I mean, why do we protect the Second Amendment so much? Is it to allow people to shoot up schools, or is it for us to protect our democracy?
I think it's to protect our democracy.
It's not saying, you know, we should all take up arms, but when your democracy is eroded and there's no other option, like, what are we meant to do?
So, in case you've never heard the term, social murder was a concept that the communists came up with. It means something other than murder, you understand. Kind of like social justice is something other than justice. Social murder is when you don't kill anybody, but they want to justify killing you. See how that works? Social murder is a concept used to describe unnatural or premature deaths that occur due to preventable problems in social, political, or economic systems rather than direct violence often associated with murder. Often associated with murder. Yeah, murder is a thing where you kill somebody. Social murder is a thing where they blame somebody's death on you because they hate you because you're a white man. It's what happens when brown people die in America, so you can claim it's white people murdering them. See, I'm more concerned about the murder than the social murder. But just so you know, I mean, these are like socialist talking points. And of course, Hassan Piker is right there with him. He's doing interviews with the New York Times or somebody where they're like, do you think stealing's good? And he's like, yeah, I think stealing's super cool. And they're like, me too. I like stealing. So I can't actually say what I think should be done to these women. So you're going to have to read my mind. Unfortunately, this segment of the show is for those capable of telepathic communication only. I think you get the message I'm sending. Because, I mean, what, you know, these people are out there, like, what you'd want to ask them, you know. And of course, like, they're so unbelievably stupid. It really is dangerous. Like, what do we do about this? These people are so dumb. Like, obviously, what happens when everybody's stealing? Oh, you're stealing from a grocery store. Guess what? That grocery store can't afford insurance anymore. So now they have to close down. Oh, now you have a food desert. Oh, now you're crying in front of the news stations saying that the grocery store is racist because they've left your community without a place to buy fresh food. And then you're going to, you know, demand a solution to that, which involves more stealing, only this time by the government of white people's money to redistribute to you. So again, the idea that like a woman dying of a preventable disease because insurance, you know, didn't cover it, it's a bad thing. Sure. Is it murder? No, it's not. It's not. It's just not. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Murder is what Luigi Mangione did. So again, even in their own statements, like, it doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. But I'd want to ask them, like, okay, who else should be murdered? Give us a list of names. Or are you only going to celebrate it after they get murdered? Like, how far do you want to go with this? Because maybe they're right. You know, maybe they're onto something. You know, maybe I've had my eyes opened by these, people who look like they got dressed by the same people who decorated the laser tag near my house. She's wearing laser tag decorations as clothing. This dumbass woman. Yeah, maybe she's right. Maybe we just need, you know, heroes like Luigi Mangione. Maybe these people can't be convinced. We don't know. Again, I just, like, just imagine you're Brian Thompson's kid. Brian Thompson. And remember, Brian Thompson was the CEO at United Healthcare. If you look up anything about him, his entire career was dedicated to trying to solve the very problems that people who are anti-insurance are pointing out. Like, he, before he died, was going around giving speeches about, like, we can't just treat people when they're sick. We have to help people stay healthy. You know, the insurance company's messed up. We only pay people out when they've, you know, got some devastating sickness that needs a cure. Why don't we, you know, pay out a little bit more to help people eat healthily? And, like, that's what he was doing. He was literally the only person, apparently. And, like, there are interviews after their death where, like, yeah, Brian Thompson was the only person in the insurance company that cared about this stuff and was working to fix it. So you killed the one guy that was working to fix the problems that you've identified. And then he is obviously, you know, not going to be there to help out that. So what happens? What happened as a consequence of that? Did United Healthcare shut down? Did they start approving more things? Did it solve anything? Or did all of the people in his position and at his level get a big bonus so they could hire private security so they no longer had to even interact with the average person? They could be shuttled from helicopter pad to helicopter pad and never have to interact with people down at the bottom. See, whether they know it or like it or intend it or not, socialist policies always and inevitably serve to bifurcate the society into the ultra rich who can afford or have their company pay for private security and, you know, gated communities. And then the hoi polloi, the rabble out there being subjected to endless and systematic violence that never gets punished. It's inevitable. It's like they can't help themselves. I don't know why they cannot literally think two or three steps ahead, but they can't. And so we're stuck with these dumbass liberal art school dropouts gleefully giggling while they advocate murder. And, like, what is the solution other than murder? Right? I mean, these people are just going to be like this until it affects them personally. And then maybe they'll be like, oh, murder's bad. Is this how it feels? Is this how it feels to be shot in the back when walking down the street in New York City? I probably shouldn't have advocated for this. This hurts. I don't know. Well, what else is there to say? I'm not advocating murder, but if they are, I mean, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Now, I've got a very big announcement coming up on the other side. I'm going to download a trailer for something and then announce it when we get back. So don't go anywhere, folks. The War Room continues on the other side.
I need funds to even operate this network and to finish the new studios. Plus, the information's vital, as you know. The bad guys want us off air. They tried to move heaven and earth to get us off air. I can't do this without you. So I'm asking folks that have gotten the products and love them to remind you to get them again at theauctionstore.com. And I want to talk to the vast majority of you that love the show, share articles, videos, great, but you never go to theauctionstore.com. You're missing out not only on getting great products, but on standing up for yourself and your family in the future. It takes money, time, and energy to fight a war, and we are financing our war of truth, our information war against the globalists, having great effects because of your support. So I want to salute those that have supported us, and I want to encourage those that have been on the fence and never bought any product. You're really missing out. Our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our CMOS, our Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy effects, folks. All the products I sell you really, really work. That's why You just need to try them and see what it does. I'd start with methylene blue. 99% of people, more than that, I believe it was like 500 people and 3 people didn't feel it. It's all on medical record, what it does, skipping the oxidation process in the cells. Does it act as a stimulant, but feels like a stimulant, no letdown. Then we have methylene red in the tincture and the capsule. The capsules are even more concentrated. It goes with methylene blue in an excellent way, but on its own is incredible. Methylene red capsules, and so these are brand new in the store right now, up to 50% off. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clear, and stay locked in throughout the day. Without relying on fake stimulant garbage, no crash, no jump, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. And if you're a subscriber, you can get up to 50% off. You can cancel anytime, and it locks in to 50% off going forward. Cancel one click for free anytime. But 25% off for everybody else, introductory price. Then we got two big buy one, get one free specials that are only running until Monday. Buy one T3 iodine, the very best, purest iodine out there that is atomic and essential in the body. All the other iodines out there are bound to an element. You don't get full absorption. One of the biggest problems, just look this up yourself, over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. So many of the neurological disorders and diseases are caused by iodine deficiency. Even the so-called daily allowance of iodine is way lower. Nutritionists I've talked to and scientists say, so you need this, and it's the best iodine you're going to get. You can buy one bottle of T3 iodine and get another bottle absolutely free. You can also get Ultimate Life Force, the Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster, great for children, women, men, old folks, you name it. It is incredible. The strongest, best detoxification formula out there, Ultimate Life Force. It's a big old bottle. I got one right here. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support, because I can't do this without you. And I'll just be quite frank with you. We're bringing in right now enough money to pay the bills and for the legal, you know, the globalists always trying to shut us down. And that's not good to be on, you know, 10th of a tank. I need to be able to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts, and scale up and finish the new studios. And we're going to do it, but it's up to you. You are the game changer here. I need you to take action right now at thealexjonesstore.com. These are incredible products. You're really missing out. And again, regardless, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and at the network at AJ and Live on X and on Rumble. Here's the new address. Almost 700,000 followers in just 9 to 10 days. Well, thank everybody for doing that. Love Rumble. We're going to partner with them. So many big announcements, new shows, more coming. Just get ready. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I just want to, I have an important announcement to make here in just a second, but just to finish off with our crime coverage, talking about the left. Again, Hassan Piker goes and gives interviews with the New York Times where he talks about, or CNN or whoever, talks about, yeah, stealing is a good thing. Of course, he's in favor of, you know, Luigi Mangione being murdered. He also abuses his dog with a shock collar and then lies about it when he got caught. He's a despicable human being in every possible way with no redeeming qualities whatsoever, who routinely and, you know, deliberately and explicitly encourages violence, again, in ways that it's shocking that he's still allowed anywhere. But not only is he allowed to get away with this on some of the biggest streaming platforms, not only is he celebrated for this type of just brain dead behavior, by the way, he's a complete hypocrite, grew up, you know, beyond wealthy, totally nepo babies, Cenk Uygur's nephew, from the Young Turks. He's sort of perfect. It's actually kind of amazing that he's become the spokesperson for, you know, this chunk of the Democratic Party, because he so perfectly represents the hypocrisy, the fact that he doesn't know anything or have any, you know, good ideas whatsoever. He also happens to love my style. He loves my fashion style, apparently. People say he looks like Nick Fuentes in a suit. Hello, excuse me. Glasses. You ever seen Hassan Piker with glasses? It's fine. It's fine. It's all fine. But here's the big difference. Here's the really big difference between the left and the right, is the right wing will throw you under the bus and condemn you even if you've done nothing wrong. Even if you're somebody like Alex Jones, who is just being, you know, railroaded and having illegitimate lawfare waged against him, you'll still see the right wing say, well, but, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said those things. Or Nick Fuentes, somebody who sure says some edgy stuff, but isn't sitting there going, you know, kill your landlord, let the street run red with their blood. That's the type of stuff Hassan Piker says. So once again, we're in a situation where we do not have an instance of mere inequality. Inequality would be the right wing has insane, violent psychopaths openly advocating for political violence and, you know, the right wing establishment rejecting those people, whereas the Democratic establishment accepts that type of person in their ranks. It's a completely different story here. The Democrats are the ones calling for violence. They do embrace their radical and insane and dangerous fringe. Meanwhile, on the right wing, anybody that simply opposes the Republican Party or, you know, goes one step further than Mike Pence is thrown to the wolves, thrown under the bus, condemned at the first possible chance. Meanwhile, clip number two here, this is Cory Booker, major figure in the Democratic Party, refusing to denounce Hassan Piker, idiot immigrant terrorist. Let's watch.
I want to ask about reaching further to the left. It's become very popular to ask elected officials, would you go on Hassan Piker's stream? Now, I want to kind of just make clear, Hassan and I don't really get along. He recently alleged that I have an AIPAC handler, something that he said without evidence, which actually really affected my show. I think the only reason he said that is I'm Jewish. I've never had an AIPAC handler or taken a dollar from AIPAC or anything like that. But I recognize that he has a huge audience that is further to the left of where you are and where I am. Reaching to the middle, I understand. Is there value in trying to reach that young, further to the left, anti-capitalist audience that he has built for better or worse?
A leader should reach out to everyone.
I just want to keep it, yeah, we just keep it there on his face for a little while. I thought that was actually kind of perfect. I didn't even know it had stopped. He just, that's how he looks sometimes. So, I mean, that, again, just the difference, the differences between the right wing, when it's like, hey, this kid, Nick Fuentes, you know, says white people are going to be a minority soon and that, you know, we should care about that. And they're just like, then he's the worst and I want to kill him. He deserves to die. Meanwhile, you have Hassan Piker just being like, we, America deserve 9/11, bro. And you should kill your landlord. And you get, you know, Timu Hakeem Jeffries up there going, you know, it's, we got to embrace everybody. You know, a real leader embraces everybody. Again, just to reiterate, just to hammer it home, it's not that the Nick Fuenteses or the whoever else, the Alex Joneses, are out here being equal to the hatred, the viciousness, the vindictiveness of a Hassan Piker. And I'm pointing out the disparate reaction of the political groups. That would be simply inequality. This is something else. This is where the right wing is not violent psychopaths, don't get embraced by the establishment. The left is violent psychopaths, do get embraced by the establishment. Just a lesson out there. The Democrats don't care. They really don't care. Again, I don't know how to make them care. I don't know what you have to do to get them to care. Like I said last week, there was a girl who was literally pushed in front of a train by a crazy black dude, refused to, you know, charge him because she didn't want to put another black man in prison, and she's now responsible for the murder of another man. That's kind of a social murder if you really want to think about it. If you really think about it, these are all social murders taking place. So again, I'm not about to push somebody in front of a train, so I don't know what else I could do to convince them the evidence of their own eyes. That's sort of the thing. I was saying earlier, like, these people can ignore these problems until they can't anymore, right? You can ignore the rising crime rate until it's a dude in a ski mask in your house with a gun to your head. But even then, the left seems incapable of connecting the dots. They will flee California because of the policies and then try to enact those same policies in their new state. How do you deal with a population of retards? I don't know. I just don't. No offense. No offense. I'm sorry for using the word. But what else am I supposed to call them? But what else? What other label applies? And again, we'll get into, you know, we'll stick with some chud news right now since we're talking about crime. We go to clip number 25 here. This is Archetype Theory on X. Archetype Theory on X. I've sort of been leading the charge when it comes to Chud the Builder and his legal situation. You know, this video is a little long, so I'll probably not be able to go to the whole thing. Just, you know, I'll save that. I'm actually going to play that in the first 5 minutes of the next hour because it's a little bit longer and I want to let as much of it play as possible. But there's other news that I want to get to here in this segment. So I'll play that in the next one. So we'll take a quick break from the crime stuff. And actually, I want to make a very important and good announcement, a very exciting announcement. I, your War Room host, will be attending and participating in and speaking at an event being held this November. It was just announced mere minutes ago by Joel Webbin of NXR. You can follow him at Joel Webbin on X. And here's the announcement. It's the Christ is King America After Trump event. It will be taking place in Irving, Texas in November. I will be speaking there, and tickets are now on sale. Let's watch the trailer.
America will either have Christ or it will have chaos. For years, conservatives believed that Trump could reverse America's decline. But after Trump, the right is now fractured, exhausted, and losing ground. Endless infighting and electoral losses have exposed a deeper problem that politics alone cannot solve. A nation that rejects Christ cannot be restored by mere personalities, grandstanding, or Christless conservatism. So NXR Studios' first annual conference, America After Trump, brings together pastors, politicians, commentators, and Christians that are committed to strength, cooperation, and a durable future for the American right. Complaining is not a strategy, and despair cannot be an option. Christ is King. Let's live like it. Save 50% off your ticket only by registering before May 31st at newchristianright.com/conference. That's newchristianright.com/conference.
So there you go, folks. You saw yours truly featured in there. So I will be a speaker as well as a bunch of other big personalities. Joel Webbin, Alex Stein will be there. Calvin Robinson obviously will be there. Very exciting time this November. If you can make it to Irving, Texas, get your tickets soon because they are right now $125 for the early bird special. It's a 3-day event. Like I said, I'll be speaking there. Come hang out. It'll be family friendly. I know there's family pricing in there as well, but the tickets will never be this cheap. So you're going to want to get them now. And I look very forward to seeing you all there this November. And I'll go ahead and retweet that. You can find that trailer and find out how to get tickets at my X at Harrison H. Smith. And I'll probably make a video after the show today to elaborate a little bit on it. But very excited to do that and get involved in a real way politically. Now let's talk about Thomas Massie, because Thomas Massie is fighting for his life against the deep state, against Israel, against Donald Trump and the fake MAGA coalition. This race has become emblematic and symbolic of the wider political conflict going on right now. It's very sort of ideal for explaining what's really going on in this country. It is far and away the most expensive race in congressional history by like a lot. And because all practically all of the money is coming from foreign billionaires and going to Thomas Massie's opponent, well, Thomas Massie's fans and supporters have volunteered their time and their talents to helping to push him over the edge and over the finish line there in Kentucky, which this is what we need. We don't have the billions of dollars to spare like AIPAC does, like Paul Singer and Miriam Adelson do. So we have to come up with something else. What we have is the people, the talent, the social media networks. We've been wielding this as strongly as we possibly can. Obviously, we dedicated a lot of the last two shows, War Room, Thursday and Friday, to pushing the Thomas Massie get out the vote effort. It appears neck and neck still. I haven't gotten really solid numbers one way or the other. Supposedly, Ed Gowrain, the challenger, has edged up, you know, ahead of Thomas Massie. But this is all early voting, and it's still anyone's race. And just the fact that it's a competition, it's kind of a damnation of our entire system, because it should not be even a competition. This is where we're at. This is where we are now. It's really, there's no accounting for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I got other videos today of Democrat politicians, women, like basically making pornography. Like, okay, you know, this is the world that we live. I mean, it is like beyond idiocracy. It's literally people being like, vote for me while they're twerking or like filming upskirt videos of themselves being like, I want to be your congresswoman. Look at my coochie. And it's just like, what is this? We played the video of the woman in Virginia a couple months ago. It was like the same thing. She was like, I'm shooting a workout video. And it's just like, you want to tilt the camera up a little bit, lady? I mean, it's like that. Well, it's like that Bill Hicks joke about, you know, in the '80s, he was like, you know how they're going to be advertising Coca-Cola soon, right? Yeah, Rhode Island Senator Tierra Mack has no regrets over twerking TikTok. That's a different one. That's not even the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the white lady. Yeah, no, it is actually stupider than this. We are no joke, maybe one or two cycles away from just straight up having pornographer, like porn stars just being like, I think I could be a great politician. If you like watching me get railed, you should vote for me. And people vote for it. They will. I mean, it is unaccountable. And I feel the same thing about this Ed Gowrain guy, where like he literally gets up and is like, I would tell you my background, but that's classified. It's like, what? What? So we have a politician that we're just not supposed to know who he is or what he does for the government. What? He doesn't debate. He gets caught using AI to, you know, publish it. He's like not a real person. And yet people are voting for him. Like, what do you do? What do you do in this situation? And how far are we from having legitimately non-existent politicians? Right? If Ed Gowrain can get elected, then so can Siri and Alexa. You know, so can an animatronic, you know, monkey puppet that speaks English. Might as well. Do you really think we're that far? I wouldn't be surprised if you had some, like, you know, sort of like playing, testing this out next time. Like, would you be surprised if it was like, you heard a new candidate for mayor in Kansas City is making waves because he's an AI and he's getting votes. Let's take a look. Like, they're going to introduce this. I really believe that we're not far from that. And the Ed Gowrain is sort of a test case for it. Because if this dude can get elected, that's sort of it for American Republic, and everybody who's genuine recognizes this. We'll go now to clip number 9. This is James Lee, great content creator. He's there in Kentucky. As part of this Get Out the Vote ground game operation, he had Joe Kent on, of course, great whistleblower, former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, who resigned his job out of, frankly, professional disgust at the war in Iran and the way Israel controls Donald Trump. Here's what Joe Kent had to say about Thomas Massie and this $30 million attack against him. Let's watch.
It's the most expensive House race in U.S. history. I think it's the most expensive primary race in U.S. history. And 95% of that money is coming from foreign lobbies, so specifically the Israeli lobby. So for you as the former director of counterintelligence, do you see this as a potential foreign intelligence risk at all? I think let's start here, you know, in terms of where, you know, your expertise is at.
I mean, foreign influence for sure. It's pretty obvious when we have people who, even though they may be Americans, are prioritizing the agenda of a foreign government over the needs of their own government. That's just a major problem. And that's something I think we need to address. I support Massey's push to label AIPAC as a, to have them register with FARA. But yeah, this is a major issue. And I think it just speaks to, one of the big flaws of our political system, how money can be flooded into the system. And if we don't have a diligent citizenry, they will get away with it. That's a big reason why I think this race is so important.
And he's exactly right. Again, the amount being spent here is astronomical, and it really shows you this is about much more than a congressional race. This is being used as a test case by the Israeli lobby, basically as a challenge on their part to go, here's this guy who is like the most beloved congressman ever. Again, I'll say it again. How many congressmen can you even name? There are 435. You could probably name AOC. You could name Thomas Massie. You could probably name the Speaker of the House and, you know, people like that. But Thomas Massie has been a household name for years at this point. So you take somebody with national name recognition, beloved in his home state, beloved by his voters. Even when Donald Trump went against him, he still got 80% of the vote during his primary last time. Is it possible to destroy that person purely through money and the influence of the Israeli lobby? Because if it is, if they can show this is what happens if you mess with us, this is what happens if you try to stand up against us in any way, right? Thomas Massie's not out there throwing the Hitler salute. He's not out there, you know, co-signing Hamas. He's basically like, I don't want to send money overseas and we should release the Epstein files. And that is enough. And there is a method in the ruthlessness. There is a method in the extremism. There's a lesson that they're teaching everybody of we're crazy. We're unhinged. We have nothing to lose, or we have no limits to what we're willing to lose to get our way completely, totally, and without a single person objecting or going against us. Yeah, as Lauren at CabSav456 says on X, in case people aren't fully grasping the absurdity of the Thomas Massie primary contest. The typical House primary spends just $100,000 to $500,000 total. That's candidates plus outside groups for the entire race. Many safe district incumbents spend almost nothing in the primary. This one, $35 million plus total spending. It's by far the most expensive U.S. House primary in history. The record prior to this was a $25 million race for New York 16 in 2024, Bowman versus Latimer Democratic primary. Before that, it was just 18 to 19 million for Missouri 1 in 2024, Bush versus Bell, another Democratic primary. Look into these three races and see where that money came from and why. This is a coordinated effort. It was successful twice already. We'll see if it's successful a third time. So again, what they're hinting at is the Democratic primaries that make up the, you know, number two and number three most expensive primary races in all of American history were also instances of the Israeli lobbying network pouring money in to try to oust somebody that may have been a good candidate but wasn't Israel first. So that's really what we're seeing here. And once again, I'll say the explicitness with which they're doing this, the obviousness with which they are impacting American politics is the point, right? You know, maybe they could have done this a little bit quieter behind the scenes, but they want everybody to know. They want you to know that there is no limit to the amount of money they're going to spend to destroy you if you, in any way, at any point, try to stand up against them. So that's the message they're trying to teach the congressmen, the representatives, and it's the message they're trying to teach to the American people. The question of whether Thomas Massie wins has now taken on the cast of a question of whether or not we still have a country anymore. These are the newest numbers. AIPAC and the Israeli lobby have now spent $15 million boosting Ed Gowrain and attacking Representative Thomas Massie in Kentucky's 4th District. Okay, so it seems like Gowrain is doing okay. Some of the numbers today were saying that he had pulled ahead. I don't know if that's accurate because they are pulling out all the stops to try to end Thomas Massie's congressional career. President Trump is not only tweeting out like an idiot about Thomas Massie endlessly, he's also made a video now attacking Thomas Massie. I'll show you that on the other side. They also are using AI in a way that is totally illegal to try to trick Massie voters. And they're sending Pete Hegseth, who in his official role as Secretary of War has no, should not be involved whatsoever in American races. And again, if we had a virtuous and intelligence populace, they wouldn't be able to do these things. Because the instant they did, all of the intelligent, well-read, and thoughtful citizens would actually see it as a negative, right? But everybody's stupid, unfortunately, and they watch Fox News. And so it becomes, oh, Pete Hegseth likes him. Oh, that's cool. Pete Hegseth's great. And he endorsed him. That's amazing. What should be happening is, wait, the Secretary of Defense is campaigning for this person? That's completely inappropriate. What a disturbing abuse of the Pentagon. Why would I vote for somebody that was engaged in something like that? But that's not going to happen. I'll show you those clips on the other side. I do want to remind you right now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a BOGO sale. It is BOGO subs. The T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is buy one, get one free. That's a bombshell product that people do tend to stock up on. So stock up now. Get the T3, buy one, get one. Also, the Ultimate Life Force is built to support full body detox, cellular cleanup, healthy circulation, immune defense recovery, and daily vitality. That also is a buy one, get one offer on thealexjonesstore.com. Go today.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm. And right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the T-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hey guys, thank you so much for sharing all the information we're putting out at Operation Free Dalton. It's crucial we get this out as soon as possible, as far and wide as we can, because we have to hold these officials accountable for the weird they do and the discrepancy between bond amounts given to people with multiple priors, murders, rape. It's unspeakable, some of the things these people have done, versus Dalton's unprecedented $1.25 million bond. And the DA, Robert Nash, wanted to give him no bond. But this same DA gave individuals who committed multiple murders, priors, bonds less than $100,000. A lot of people think this is attacking white people, freedom of speech, and then, you know, kid gloves for the crimes black people commit. But what we have to understand is, and black community, listen when I say this. When they give these low bonds to the people terrorizing your communities, they're doing that to hurt you. That's a weapon. As much as this high bond is a weapon against Dalton and free speech, letting these criminals go for next to nothing, knowing they're gonna kill people you know, your friends and family at some point, these people are the problem. Dalton was exposing that. He found himself in the middle. And before I play the audio of Dalton, I just want to let you know that Dalton's not, like, he's just a dude. He's a contractor who got canceled over this word. You know, he took the word that ruined his life and found himself not being able to have a job. I mean, the cancel efforts to get him fired and to not get him work when he started his own business, a lot of people put a lot of effort into that. And black people, let's just be honest, the blackest thing you could do if you had your life ruined over talking to a white guy, call him cracker, blackest thing you could do is just walk around and call everyone cracker if you're going to get paid for it. That was the spirits of the civil rights movement, right? And he was just starting to earn respect and build bridges between the black community who understood that he wasn't doing it out of hostility or that he didn't, or that he hated black people. That wasn't the issue. You saw how he lit up when he would ask people, do you believe in free speech? And then, you know, drop the N-bomb. And, you know, if they were cool about it, he matched that energy and he loved it and he lit up. And I saw that he was on that arc. He was dramatizing a lot of pent up things in the culture. And I think that's why they wanted him out. Before I play the audio, I just want to say, stop using Dalton as a symbol to escalate conflict or to lynch him. He's a person. And we all have something in common with Dalton, whether you're white.
All right, folks, that is a video from Archetype Theory. And again, I thought I'd just let, you know, his video play because he's actually done a lot of work behind the scenes helping Dalton, a.k.a. Chad the Builder. And I'll show you some of the information that he's been able to compile, proving just how unfair and politicized the arrest of Chubb Builder has been. More on the other side, folks. Stay with us. We still have Cuba to talk about and Iran and so much more. Don't go anywhere. It's The War Room, AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Yes, Alex. Yes. Ready you are.
Folks, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Hope you are sharing our links at AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. We're also on Rumble and X. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Let's keep talking about Thomas Massie, because you can see the desperation these people feel in getting Thomas Massie out. You know, there's a couple of silver linings with this. In a lot of ways, Massie has already won, right? Because if he wins, this is going to be a huge black eye to the Israeli lobby. It will basically prove that they can pull out all the stops. They can bring all of the weapons they have to bear, and they can still fail if the American people rally around the target of their attack. So that would be huge. If he loses, it's not exactly like, it's not something to feel bad about. You know, it's like people are like, oh, InfoWars shut down. It's like, yeah, and not because we failed, not because we, you know, weren't popular, didn't have support, didn't have an audience. We got screwed over. And that's how Thomas Massie will feel. Because that's the truth. It's not like I ran a fair, you know, race and darn it, the other guy was just better. No, it's because literally tens of millions of dollars were poured into this specifically because Thomas Massie is a good congressman and they want to teach a lesson to people who want to be good congressmen. Remember, it was Thomas Massie himself that said a lot of other people in Congress feel like me. They just are afraid to stand up. Thomas Massie wins. It'd be a big push towards those people for like, hey, you can do this. You can stand up for the American people and you will be rewarded by the American people. You know, I had a video a while ago that I repost pretty regularly whenever anything racial comes up, where I'm talking about, you know, if only black people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Hispanic people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Jewish people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. But if only white people voted, everywhere would be Republican. But in that, I'm also talking about the AIPAC handlers. This was after Thomas Massie revealed that to Tucker Carlson, that every Republican had an AIPAC handler who basically directed them and told them how to vote, and they would call for advice about how to deal with certain issues, and they were the Israeli first conduit that got all of the Republicans aligned. And the problem is that that becomes their sole source of power. The way our system is set up is that you're supposed to get the power from the people and from the people's approval. And so that should be your only concern. As long as I serve the people, they'll return me to office. I'll retain my power. My power is born from the people's approval. But when AIPAC can come in and override the people's approval, can dictate the people's approval, or can work behind the scenes to, you know, hamstring and destroy you, you know, without anybody knowing, which is the real power of AIPAC. It's not just about the money. People point to the AIPAC money. It's about the connections. It's about the control and influence of the media. It's about the connections to the current administration and what they can get Trump to do for them. It's about way, way, way more than money, and the money is really the least important aspect of this. Also, the money given to the politician is not anywhere near the total amount spent on the race by PACs and super PACs and all these things, publishing ads for them and doing whatever else. So what in effect has actually happened here is a total inversion, or just, in a word, the complete destruction of our democratic system, because the people in power no longer have to appeal to the citizenry. The citizenry is kept in a state of ignorance and stupidity and simply dictated who they vote for every couple of years, and they tend to fall in those party lines. So as long as they serve AIPAC, they're good. That has become their highest priority. That's become the only priority. You can lose at everything else. As long as AIPAC has your back, as long as you support Israel and they support you, you'll probably get into office. And AIPAC brags about this and says, you know, 99% of the people they support get into office. They have a pretty good track record on this because they know who to pick and they ensure that they succeed. So the Thomas Massie run is like a very unique instance where enough attention is on this, enough love surrounds Thomas Massie, that perhaps we can reset the priorities of the congressman, at least in this instance, and for now. We can show the congressman, if you serve AIPAC, you're not getting our support. If you serve Israel, it's going to be a net negative. And that needs to be the ultimate result of this, is that the burden of taking AIPAC money has to be greater than the benefit of being chosen by AIPAC. Now, AIPAC already recognizes that they're unpopular, and so they're laundering their money now through other PACs they set up, like Kentucky MAGA. Not Kentucky, not MAGA. It's an Israeli front group hiding their activity so that AIPAC's name isn't on it. The Democrats are doing this to an even greater degree because of how unpopular it is there. That's a step in the right direction. That's a good development for us. We don't want AIPAC controlling our politicians, and if they do, we want them to have to do it clandestinely because they're so unpopular to the wider American population. But this really has become a litmus test. It really has become a chance for us to see whether or not serving the American people is enough, or whether serving Israel is enough. And then, of course, the silver lining on top of all of it is that if Thomas Massie loses, it's likely he runs for president next. And he, out of anybody, has done the most work in reaching across the aisle and could very well be a dark horse surprise to everybody if he's able to not just, you know, maybe run a third party, maybe do what Donald Trump did and shake up the Republican primary in 2028. So it's sort of a win-win situation regardless, but don't let that stop you from voting. If you're in Kentucky and if you're in this district, you got to get out to vote. It's, I don't want to hear an excuse, well, you know, I really wanted to run for president, so I didn't vote for him. No, this needs to be slapped out of the hands of AIPAC. Mark Levin says, I had Ed Galrain on my radio show last evening. He's running against Massie. He's a superb patriot and he'd be a great congressman. I endorsed him and endorse him now. The election is Tuesday. Turnout is key. Make sure to vote. And then the redhead libertarian says, best endorsement of Thomas Massie that I've ever seen. Folks, do you love Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin? Then vote Ed Galrain and get the hell out of our country. Just despicable. Chris Minahan has the article at Information Liberation, Thomas Massie versus Israeli Lobby. Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie is fighting to hold on to a seat in Congress in the face of record spending from the Israeli lobby and an onslaught of attacks from President Trump. The Republican Jewish Commission, Coalition, AIPAC, Miriam Adelson, and Paul Singer are all part of the Israeli lobby. And that's where the money comes from my opponent Ed Galrain, Massie told ABC News' George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And it will be a referendum on foreign policy, whether Israel gets to dictate that by, you know, bullying members of Congress, and I'm one they have not been able to bully. So now they're putting all the brunt, the force on me. But you can tell that I'm ahead in the polls and they're desperate. That's why they're sending the Secretary of War to my district tomorrow. That's why the president's losing sleep and tweeting about this. That's why AIPAC has dumped another $3 million into this race this weekend, because they're panicked and they really haven't been able to gain a lead in this race. So again, they see this as almost an existential problem here, that if Thomas Massie gets to remain in Congress, their power will have been substantially weakened in the eyes of the other congressmen. And they are pulling out all the stops, and it is showing their desperation. This is not Donald Trump, you know, putting the cherry on top. This is not, you know, Pete Hegseth just like, yeah, I was in town anyway. No, they're desperate. They're all flying in to try to get to destroy Thomas Massie, which it just tells you everything you need to know about them, right? Because Thomas Massie is a great politician, and he's a great conservative, and he's libertarian. They can't, you know, blame this. I mean, they can't blame this on anything, really. He's played it so well. Because if he was more radical, if he was like, you know, an identitarian, they could blame it on that, right? Like they've done with other people, where who was it that said, you know, he's like, white supremacy, how's that a bad thing? Or like white nationalism, what? We are a white nation. And they just like kick him off all the power. How dare you? How dare you recognize white people's contribution to this country? You racist. And they kick him out. It's like Thomas Massie, he hasn't stepped on any tripwires. And all of his opposition to Israel has been so sort of principled. Like even with Tucker Carlson, they'll point to him defending Islam and go, oh, he's on the side of Muslims or whatever. But Thomas Massie's played this so carefully and has been so, you know, resolutely good at staying on topic. Like they've got nothing. They really have nothing. They just want to call him stupid and an obstructionist. They just want to insult him because they have no substantial criticisms to make. They can't claim that he's anti-Semite. They can't claim that he's a racist. They can't claim that he's a far right, you know, tyrannical person. They've got nothing. So it's just insults and money. And if that wins, then we're screwed. I mean, that's it. But the desperation. Oh, the desperation reeks, y'all. It's like, how much more desperate could you even get? They're sending Pete Hegseth to do this. And like, they're so desperate. They're like breaking the law. I mean, the AI videos that look real. Again, it's one thing if you're Spencer Pratt and you're, you know, putting the mayor of LA in a emperor's uniform and you're having them, you know, dictate policy like a queen. Okay. No one's believing that. It's not trying to be legitimate. It's not trying to be realistic. But then you've got AI videos running on Fox News of Thomas Massie holding hands with AOC and Ilhan Omar, and they look real and it looks like security footage. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to doctor images and then present them as if they're real. But who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? What are you going to do? Sue them? Well, they're doing it through an LLC that they'll close down as soon as the election's over. So they're completely violating the law with these AI videos that are made to look real. Totally egregious. Totally insane. Oh, yeah, he betrayed President Trump. That's literally all they've got. Paid for by Kentucky MAGA, of course. That's not the only thing they're doing. They've got Donald Trump tweeting endlessly about this. He goes on and on about it. Third-rate congressman Thomas Massie, weak and pathetic, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it's just, I don't know, it's just beyond infuriating. I mean, what is there even to say? Let's go to the Clash Report video because this was, so Trump is tweeting about this endlessly, and then they're sending Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War to go campaign, which I think would also be illegal. They're using illegal AI creations to trick the boomers. It doesn't have the numbers when we added, so it'd be number 30, I guess. Sorry, talking to the crew about which clip to play here because it just came out, so I added it later on, so it's not on my video list. But this just came out from President Trump, who has once again injected himself into this race in an embarrassing and shameful act of desperation because they have no actual arguments. They're relying on the force of personality from the Trump cult. And it's just pathetic and disgusting and, in my opinion, backstabbing to Thomas Massie, who has only ever supported the American people. Let's watch Trump.
I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. I'm in the Oval Office, and we're in a fight against the worst congressman in the history of our country. His name is Thomas Massie. He's from Kentucky. I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. He is so bad. Got an election coming up. He's running against a great guy, a great patriot, Ed Gilrain. He's fantastic. But forget that. Massie's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Always voting against Republicans and good values. So get rid of Thomas Massie.
He's got an A+ on the conservative report card. He votes with Trump like 91% of the time is the actual stat. And the only times he's broken with Trump, it's been on things that Trump was wrong about in the first place. And of course, it's so much like Trump just to be like, he's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Oh, great point. Yeah, great argument. I didn't realize he was worse than whoever, you know. Any of the Democrats right now, literally any of them are worse than Thomas Massey. But it's like, I don't know. I'm sure the 1840s had some not good, you know, congressmen too. It's just a stupid thing to say because Thomas Massey is like more conservative than just about any Republican in Congress. But it's like, you might as well, you know, I'm surprised he didn't come out making a video about how Thomas Massey was 2 weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. I mean, Thomas Massey has been routinely enhancing and weaponizing uranium in his basement for 47 years. For 47 years, Thomas Massey has been the sole force behind every single terrorist attack. Did you know that? Did you know that for 47 years, Thomas Massey and his children have been chanting death to America? Did you know that? It's crazy, but it's totally true. It's just as true as it is for Iran. Liberty score. Let's see. Does he have the best liberty score available? 96%. 96%. Is anybody higher than him? That's what I want to know. Does anybody have a higher liberty score for voting in favor of personal liberty and against, you know, liberalism and socialism? So it really is just pathetic. And it really is literally exactly the same thing that happened with the war in Iran. I can't help but see the similarities where it's just like, oh, this be an easy victory. You know, as long as you're doing it, you're such a genius. You did Venezuela so well. And remember how Marjorie Taylor Greene collapsed underneath the force of your personality, your honor, your magnificence, Donald Trump. All we need is for you to take out Thomas. It'll be easy. It'll be an easy in and out, you know, 48-hour operation to destroy Thomas Massey. It's not going to be a quagmire. It's certainly not going to, you know, be bad for you. Israel needs this, Trump. So, yeah, we're run by Israel. Our country is just run by Israel. And I think that's all there is to it. And it just sucks having a slave as a president. It really does. It's the pits. It's the worst. Having a president who is just a pitiful, abject slave of a foreign state that despises us, it's really sickening. And remember, Miriam Adelson, who's Trump's number one backer, who he gets up on podium and he's like, Miriam Adelson doesn't care about America, but boy, does she love Israel, and I do everything she says. Cool, Trump, great, yeah, fantastic. Remember, she doesn't really have a lot of casinos in America anymore. The vast majority of her casino operations right now are in Macau, off the coast of China, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And she's the one pouring money into defeating Thomas Massey. So you have an Israeli who makes her money in China destroying Thomas Massey. Oh, look, it's all the other people that Donald Trump has gone after. That's hilarious. Is this, I assume it's, these are the top ones. All right, top scores. That's so funny because Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously attacked by Trump. Paul Gosar, I think, has been attacked by Trump. Lauren Boebert is now on Donald Trump's crap list and is he's attacking her now and wants to unseat her and is now reaching out for another puppet in Colorado to get her. Chip Roy, he's up for re-election this year. And then Thomas Massey. So do they all have 96? So they've all got great scores. So it's literally all of the people Donald Trump is at war with are the top liberty score achievers. The high score achievers in liberty are the ones that Donald Trump is tearing down and destroying and kicking out of the Republican Party. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is Tucker Carlson on Thomas Massey, what he thinks of this entire thing.
Miriam Adelson is spending whatever it takes to take the seat away from him because he committed the crime of describing how things actually work in the U.S. Congress. Anyone who gets the idea that maybe I'll get to Congress and tell the truth about how things actually work, you'll be crushed. If they are successful in doing this, crushing a man, defaming a man, slandering a man, attacking his family purely for the crime of telling the truth about them, about how they operate, about the nature of the Epstein class, then you have to wonder, why are we voting in the first place? What is the point of all of this? Is there a reason to participate in the process? If in the end some Israeli casino lady can come in and just determine the outcome, that's not democracy. It's just straight up teeth-bared oligarchy. It's shut up and obey. And so while we can, it's probably worth doing whatever it takes within the bounds of the law to prevent that from happening. Because crushing Thomas Massie for the crime of telling the truth is itself a moral crime. And yet in Washington, the only people who are punished are those who told the truth. And at some point that has to stop, or the system itself lacks all legitimacy.
There you go. Tucker Carlson pointing out what we should all know by now. This really is a struggle, a battle that will determine in some not insignificant way whether American is sovereign anymore or whether we are just the playground for oligarchs. And that certainly seems to be where we're headed, especially if, you know, things like this, accelerating federal permitting of data center infrastructure. This is something we reported on at the time, but went largely unremarked upon. And it was, of course, the federal government basically expediting the creation of all of these data centers. Because what we're talking about when we're talking about the conflict between the Israel first and the America first, what we're talking about is the conflict between globalism and nationalism, really, at the end of the day. And whether the Republican Party represents supporting Israel and nothing more, nothing less, because with that incumbent alongside supporting Israel is supporting big tech, supporting the data centers, supporting the surveillance state that they're trying to impose on all of us. Or are we in principle against this as Americans? It's really what it all comes down to. And it's not a coincidence that it's the Epstein files, the data centers. I put out a poll yesterday on X or the day before, and the results were a little bit more one-sided than I expect. But my point was, I basically asked, are you pro-data center or anti-data center? And then are you pro-Israel or anti-Israel? Because I have this working theory, and it seems consistent on across everybody I follow on X. If you're against Israel, you're against the data centers. These shouldn't really have anything to do with each other, but they do. They obviously are very intimately tied up with one another. Why is that? And what does that mean for us as Americans as we head to the polls for this primary? Do you support the international oligarch, big tech, corporate panopticon? Or do you believe in the American system and our foundation and the principles as elaborated on by the founding fathers? I guess that's the question that's being asked right now. Again, we'll get back into this on the other side. But there are more sales that I have not told you yet about at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'll say it again. Today is the day. Do you decide to continue to suffer brain fog and lack of energy and lack of vitality and just sort of stumble through life doing the bare minimum to get by? Or do you seize life by the horns and make it your friend? Or do you make it your friend by maximizing your health and therefore making it easier to achieve your dreams? By the way, even if you don't take the supplements, the merchandise that we have on there is the highest quality, very stylish, very cool. But I suggest you try the T3 iodine. I suggest you try the Life Force. Both those are buy one, get one free right now on thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture, capsules, and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Thomas Massey's in the fight for America's life right now against the Israeli lobby. And, of course, we've been connecting over the last couple days on Thursday and Friday. We were joined by Tiffany Cianci, getting the exclusive Thomas Massey speech and interview. Very exciting to see so many people, you know, put the boots on the ground and get there for that great congressman. We're going to get an update from her. She's going to call in and just give us a very quick update. I know I was watching her. I saw an X today. She put out a video about what she's had to do just health-wise to deal with all the work that she's been doing. So, I mean, she's really, you know, busting her butt, and a lot of people are getting Thomas Massey elected. So we're going to check in on that. I do want to go to a video now from James O'Keefe, because we got some good news here. James O'Keefe and his investigation into the fraud being committed with homeless people by the California government, who will get homeless people to sign up for things like petitions in exchange for cash. Of course, we had him on when this investigation first started, and he basically said, we're going to be releasing videos until we get some legal consequence. Well, it appears as though that legal consequence has arrived, and they're even crediting James O'Keefe and OMG Investigations for the break. Let's watch his announcement today.
So first, I want to talk about voter fraud and the case of United States versus Brown Armstrong. And we'll have a graphic up there in a moment. The Department of Justice has charged a longtime California signature gatherer under 52 U.S.C. Section 10307, subsection C, with one count of paying another person to register to vote in a federal election. The defendant, Brenda Lee Brown Armstrong, has signed a plea agreement and has admitted her guilt on this charge. According to the plea agreement, and my colleague Bill Asaley will be able to answer any specific questions about it, she worked as a petition circulator, aka signature gatherer, here in Los Angeles for approximately 20 years. And starting in 2025 or so, after Ms. Brown Armstrong had a practice of going down to Skid Row here in Los Angeles, getting homeless people to sign these signature petitions that had to do with qualifying ballot measures and et cetera, she would sometimes find that the signatures would be disqualified because the people signing these signature petitions weren't actually registered to vote. So to remedy this flaw in her business arrangements, she would then gather, starting in 2025, stacks of voter registration forms from the Los Angeles County Registrar of Voters, and then go to Skid Row in downtown Los Angeles to have homeless people first sign the voter registration forms and then sign the signature petitions. And she did this in exchange for cash and other items of value, inducements both for the voter registration and for the signature petitions. These were often small sums of cash, just a few dollars, as well as cigarettes and phone cards. On several occasions when the homeless person had no formal address to enter on the voter registration form, Ms. Brown Armstrong provided them with a fake address, namely her own former address in Los Angeles, to write on the voter registration form. Now, the potential charges and sentence, rather, would include 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of up to $10,000. This case is important because it shows how easy it is under California law to corrupt the state's voter rolls and thereby corrupt the state and federal elections administered by the state. Because when someone registers.
So that's amazing. Again, just absolute feather in the cap of James O'Keefe. He is responsible for the investigation that led to this result. Hopefully they'll be thinking twice now about using homeless people and, basically committing fraud to get their signatures. And, it's a very good thing. I mean, what else is there to say? This is what happens when citizens get involved, get active, and force their government to do what's right. So big congratulations to James O'Keefe. And of course, we look forward to his next attack against the corruption here. Breaking news. James O'Keefe investigation leads to DOJ indictment of election fraudsters in LA. Brenda Brown, the Skid Row election petitioner O'Keefe Media caught on hidden camera, has pled guilty. Election fraudster Brenda Brown has been charged with 5 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and a fine of $10,000. Arrests and accountability. Very, very good to see. And again, you can only imagine what they were threatening her with if she pled to 5 years in prison. Yeah, it was a pretty big crime that she committed. So again, we'd like to see more of those arrest happening, and hopefully that'll have some mitigating effect on the ambitions of the Democrats. I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and religion here in just a second. Before I do that, I want to go to clip number 4. This has been going totally viral, and it's like one of the funniest videos ever, unintentionally funny videos ever. And it's not supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be these people bragging about their life choices and their lifestyle, and everybody's just clowning on them like they're insane. We'll go to that video in just a second. This is kind of the thing, folks. We are at the end of the day a libertarian outlet. I know that people have a bad connotation or a off the mark connotation with how I interpret that phrase. Libertarian, meaning to me that liberty is the highest goal, it's the highest value, and once again, liberty to me doesn't mean pure freedom. You can be free in the wilderness somewhere. You can be free by yourself and, fine, you're free, but what good is that? Liberty is a combination of civilization and freedom. Liberty is when your entire civilization, your entire community works together to stop threats to you and your family so that you can enjoy your life as you see fit without coercion or suppression or oppression from the government or corporations or your heavily armed neighbor. Liberty requires civilization to even exist. That's how I interpret it and see it. And that just means that it's my northern light. It's my guiding light. It's what we're reaching towards. Now to get there, you know, maybe you got to do some unlibertarian things, right? To get to a place of liberty, you first have to have safety. To get to safety, you have to have good men who are more violent than the bad men, right? You have to have laws that establish order from which peace can grow. So don't get me wrong. If I say I'm libertarian, that doesn't mean I just think everybody can do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want. I think everybody is required to uphold a certain standard in their own virtue for all of us to enjoy the benefits of liberty and freedom. However, there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with this freedom. Because just like liberty is not a license to do anything, it's an obligation to do the right thing. Well, your life as a human being, you can make whatever choices you want, and I don't believe I have a right to come in and dictate to you what those right choices are. I do, however, have an obligation to try to express to you so that you voluntarily make the right choices. What a stupid idea everything that the left believes is, and how it will inevitably lead to disaster, ruin, and misery. Maybe not now, maybe not for a couple of decades, but there is no other outcome to this. So here's the video that's been going viral. Hilarious that they thought this was a brag. They thought this was a flex. Let's watch the dinks. Says, so when are you two gonna have kids? Us. And then they look at, oh, look at all the places they've been. Oh, it's so exciting. Look at the photographs of them. Oh, they look so happy. So here's the thing. The first response I saw to this was somebody who photoshopped all of those books on the shelf of a Goodwill, basically saying, yeah, once you die, these things are just going to go to Goodwill. Here's the thing, though. Nobody would buy those books. Who would buy those books at Goodwill? They're photo albums of those people. Nobody cares who those people are. I wouldn't even look at those books if they were on the internet. Like, if they were like, hey, look at our trip to Bali. Look at our trip through Africa. It'd be like, why? Who are you? I don't care. What? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. So it's almost like, you know, people go, oh, those are just going to go to Goodwill. No, they're just going to be thrown out. They're going to be burned. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Who are you? Oh, we're going to look. I'm going to buy a picture book of some random couple's trip to Greece. Why? Who would buy that? No, it's nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, if you had kids, those books would become treasured heirlooms. Those would become something that you pass down generation upon generation. Children who won't be born for 100 years could crack those open and say, what a wild time my ancestors lived. Look at what, you know, my forefathers did. But you're not going to leave anything for anybody. So who cares? What is the point of this? And who do you think you're, like, it's amazing to me. Millennials are asking one question before having kids. It's not about money. What do they say? I haven't seen this one. What do they say we're asked? What do they say we millennials are asking? We've seen all the headlines about falling birth rates and the global trend to delay starting a family rather than getting married and having children early in their 20s. Many couples are delaying parenthood until their 30s or even their 40s. Many presume that's predominantly a financial decision, but that's not the only reason millennials are holding off. The question isn't just whether they can afford to start a family, but can they cope with the mental load that comes with it? Good Lord, you weak scum. You weak little scum. Do you have any idea what our, see, this is the problem. If you, like, you gotta respect history to have a future, right? That's what I'm always thinking of. Like, if ever as a parent you're like, ah, are we doing enough? I just remember the images I've seen, the paintings that are hanging on the walls of my house of people literally taking, you know, going on the Oregon Trail 6 months pregnant, giving birth in a desert somewhere in Utah and making it to California. It's like, did they worry about the hardships that came along with it? Did they stress out about the hardships of having a baby? You really, it's fine, y'all. don't hurt the baby. Everything's fine. Give the baby food, change its diaper. That's literally all you really have to do. I mean, you can be a better parent than that and you should, but like, I don't know. It's not that hard, folks. It's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. I literally would rather have another kid than have to go through airport security. That's how I feel. Every one of those books I just see, God, how many hours do they spend sitting some godforsaken airport waiting for airport security? That sounds like it sucks. It's really not hard. And it really actually makes things a lot easier once the kid is old enough to like do work. You put them to work. It's great. It's amazing. But it's like, that's it. That's the best argument they have. Sure, we don't have kids. Sure, we're a genetic dead end. Because it's selfishness is what it is at the end of the day, which is why I relate it to like libertarianism. Because it's like, you have an obligation to have children. If you don't, you are a selfish person. Because once you have, and you can only realize this once you have kids, because you pour so much into the kid before the kid's even conscious. So you just like, you know, you're like, I'm sacrificing so much. I'm giving so much of myself to this kid, and they have no idea, and they'll never appreciate it. They just never will. They can't. They literally cannot possibly appreciate it until they do it themselves. And so, you know, you're like, I'm giving everything to this kid. I'm getting nothing in return. But one day that kid's going to have to give what I gave to him. He's going to have to pass that on to his kid. So it will be paid on to future generations. But what you realize when you do that, you go, man, this is what my parents did for me. How selfish is it to receive this unbelievable gift of life that your parents poured into you and then just go, I'm just going to keep it for myself, though. No, but it's mine and I want it. And it's just for me. It's like, well, actually, this is a gift that's been passed on since the beginning of time. And you're now deciding to squander it like a selfish heathen. How dare you? So it's just like, who is falling? Are people actually watching that? And they're like, if I don't have kids, I can get a picture book of my trip to Africa. Wouldn't I rather have that? Wouldn't I rather be able to show my friends? And it's funny because once you have kids, especially if you have kids, like before your friends have kids, it becomes a little bit tedious having to hear about your friends' lives because you're sitting there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's hard to have kids, but like, it's so worth it. It's just not a question, right? But you've spent a lot of time. You have no, I mean, all the cliches are true, right? When you have a kid, people go, oh, you're never going to sleep again. You go, ha ha. Yeah, I get it. And then like 3 months in, you're like, am I ever going to sleep again? They were right. I forgot how to sleep. So it's true. Like it's a lot of hard work. But it's so worth it. It's just crazy. They're kind of like dog. Yeah, it's kind of like having a dog. Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's so unlike having a dog. It's crazy. And so you're talking to your friends without kids, and they're like, oh, I'm so tired. I've been working so hard. And you're just like, oh, really? You think you know what tired is? You think you even can use that word in my presence? And it's just everything your friends are doing without kids is just, you don't care anymore. Like, we went on this trip. And you're like, okay, so what? Do you have kids yet? Tell me about your kids. Because then everything about kids is like fascinating and hilarious. And, you know, you want to hear about the experiences that your friends had. And you just, that dink mentality, dual income, no kids, it just becomes pathetic. And you really can't see it until you have kids. I mean, you might be able to tell that, you know, what these people value and who they are. It is pathetic, and that should be obvious to anybody. But until you have kids, it's hard to understand just how, like, when your friends are talking about their vacation, it's just like, okay, so what? I have a child. I have three new lives that like are a constant explosion of hilarity. But yeah, tell me about your friggin' Bali. Oh, the sand was nice, was it? Oh, the ocean was blue? Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh, like more blue than you've ever seen before. Well, okay. Who cares? Literally, who cares? So it's just pathetic. So again, you can do whatever you want. You can make whatever choices you want in your life. I certainly feel very strongly for people that, you know, want kids and don't have it. I feel bad knowing how hard it would be to, you know, hear somebody like me saying stuff like this, but like, obviously that's not your fault. But for people who are choosing it, they deserve shame. They deserve to be ridiculed and laughed at for like being children themselves, literally being children themselves, to where like I have with kids, it's just, you know, they don't understand certain things, and that's okay. You know, you got to let them just be silly little children, right? And that's how these people, they're silly little children traveling around the world, taking pictures of themselves like anybody cares, like they even care. Like nothing. I cannot imagine anything more pathetic than sitting there and going through your own photo album, your own solipsistic narcissism journal, reminding yourself what a great mojito you had at that place in Bali. Whoa. It's just so pathetic. So this is like, the thing is, you see those people and I genuinely feel bad for them. I'm laughing at them. I'm ridiculing them. I don't believe they deserve like respect or empathy. But like, I want to wake them up. It's like, you don't even realize what you're missing. And it's pathetic and sad. You think you're dunking on people and it sucks. You suck and you don't even know that. And it's very sad, but this is the result of our culture of narcissism, of encouraging, you know, self-obsession and, self-advancement. And it's all about the self. And they want you to think that a trip to Timbuktu is somehow equivalent of a new child. It's crazy. It really is. But all this stuff is intertwined. There's a reason why we're so off the rails. There's a reason why everything is getting worse and everybody can see it, but nobody's doing anything to stop it. It's because we have fully embraced the rejection of our traditional values because we have forgotten the underlying purpose of those traditional values. Nowadays, you hear the way the left wing talks about stuff, and it's as if everybody that was born before me was a superstitious idiot that thought, you know, an angry sky god would strike them down if they didn't get married and have children. No, the entire construct of Western civilization was born incrementally over thousands of years of trial and error, and it was the best setup any culture in the world has ever achieved. 1950s, 1960s, I mean, America nailed it. And nowhere has ever been as good as that place was in terms of the dad works. He works a reasonable amount. He gets paid well. The mom stays home. The community is close. The streets are safe. It worked. It worked because when things didn't work, we didn't continue to do it. And the things that did work, we continued to do. And now they've ripped out the underlying foundation that built all of that stuff. And so they point to their traditions and go, why the hell are we doing this? Why do we do this? We get married for life? That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's actually natural. It's good. It's the way the world is supposed to be. People come in with these completely rootless and unmoored ideas about ideally what they would like the world to be like. But it's not the way the world is. So, of course, all of their ideas are inevitably destructive. And when you look at the Alex Jones Network, and you look at what Alex has done over the last 30 years he's been on air, it has been a reinforcement of the underlying values so that the principles themselves can be maintained and upheld. But without the underlying values, it's all just nonsense. And you got to know where to apply these things and where not to. And you've got to live it. You've got to live it yourself. You've got to be the example, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. And a lot of people out there, they'll complain a lot about the marriage rates. Are they getting married and having kids? They'll complain a lot about the, you know, collapse of fertility. What are they doing to increase it? You have to actually get involved and do this stuff. Or at the very least, you have to try to fix it in your own life. See, we always have this two-pronged approach. I've explained a lot of times, but essentially, we're not here to blackpill you. We're not here to even tell you things with the hope of like selling you products. Cause I see this a lot. I don't really listen to it as much, but I used to listen to a lot of like true crime stuff. And it was like comical how often it would be, you know, a story about an innocent family, unsuspecting family, you know, sleeping in bed at night when masked men come in and just, it's like the gory details. It's like the goriest thing ever. And then it's like, we'll be right back. And it goes to a commercial break and it's like, do you need home security? Right. And it's sort of the most blatant example of just like everyone's coming to kill you, but we can provide the solution. We're not grifters. We're not like telling you scary stories to then try to sell you a security blanket. What we're doing is trying to inform you about the real reason why the fertility rate is collapsing, the chemical attack that your body's under, the real reason why our entire society seems replete and filled to the brim with absolute morons, because there has been a consistent and deliberate and orchestrated and coordinated campaign to dumb us down chemically and, you know, by destroying the education system and all this other stuff. And remember, if you watch the population graph, the fertility graph in America, it is 2007 that it falls off a cliff. It is actually economic. So we'll also talk to you about how, you know, what's happening in the economic sphere is about more than just people on Wall Street making a couple extra bucks. They're using the economy as a weapon to destroy humanity by making it prohibitively expensive for good people to continue to procreate while constantly replenishing the supplies of the third world so they can breed ad nauseum for the new immigrants to replace the people that you're killing off in your home country. It's all tied in together, and it's not a coincidence that people with families and spouses and children to take care of tend to be on our side politically, because it's only the desperate and alone that are looking for daddy government to come in and rescue them. So I hope you can support us in this mission. I hope that you can have your life changed in a positive way by not just listening to the information that we provide, but by actually physically fighting back against the attacks that you're under, that we don't want you to be scared of and beaten down by, but aware of and fighting back against. We make it incredibly easy for you to do that. Right now, you're getting 40% off Methylene Blue Tincture, Methylene Blue Caps, Ultra DNA Revival, which is incredibly powerful stuff, and the Shilajit Caps and Gummies, probably my favorite product on the store, which also, by the way, has been shown to increase testosterone. I'm not a doctor making medical claims, but certainly worth a try. So you're getting 40% off all of those on thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Red Tincture, Colostrum, and MK Ultra are all off 35% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're getting a full 30% off all apparel, that shirts, hats, and hoodies, thealexjonesstore.com. That's just how big our sales are. The smallest sale is 30% off, and nowhere gives you 30% off, except for us, thealexjonesstore.com.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
We'll be right back.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.